trouble. He is set. Jordan Poyer came unblocked. It is Jerry Hughes who brings him down. What a big play there. Poy, much to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Friday, home game Friday. You know what that means? Always a good show. I think it is, right? Every time we did John Murphy and Donald Jones here at One Buffalo, I always say that, and then I feel like we never follow up, but I always feel like Friday before home games are the best shows we do, Donald. I really feel that way.
Well, it's the last home game of the season, so this one is important. Yeah, regular season, you know, so take me home. No, I'm just playing with you today. So it's a big show, man. This is a big show. It's our last home game this year. I think people are excited. You think people are? Yeah, regular season. I got to get that in my mind. Regular season home game this year. You think people are excited about?
Yeah, I think last week's game helped. And by the way, I got to say, I don't know if there's any scenario that has the Bills hosting a home playoff game, right?
No.
There probably is. I don't feel like giving myself a headache trying to figure it out. It'd be hard to imagine they would host. So I'm saying regular season with the hopes that there's a playoff game, and, boy, if there's ever a home playoff game, I'd be stunned. I don't even know if it's possible, given the standings.
This year? Yeah. I don't know if that is possible this year, you know. As it stands right now, the playoffs go through Pittsburgh. I just don't see it. When you're the sixth and final, you know, wild card spot, I don't see that really happening.
You got to finish, fourth at least to be, the, right?
Yeah. I mean, they'd have to win out, and the Patriots would have to lose out, right? Yeah. I mean, they basically have to win a division to get a home game.
Yeah.
And I just don't I don't know if that's going to happen. But
well, no, one of the wild cards will host a home game, right? No, I guess not.
No. The top four teams.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We know that.
So it's the last – all right, well, let's just leave it out there. Since we're not sure, we're going to leave it out there. The last regular season home game this year. Hopefully we get a good one. You got the Dolphins coming into town, squish the fish. And we'll see what happens. I know it's one thing. It's freezing cold in there in the field house as they're trying to get the guys prepared for Sunday, I guess. You know, I don't know if you can get them any more prepared after what they just played in Sunday.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There is a scenario where, you know, the Bills finished 10-6, Patriots finished 10-6.
Right. Yeah, that's
win
the one.
Division.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Bills have to win out, Patriots have to lose out.
Yeah, but also depending on what happens with others, including the Chiefs and Chargers. Whatever. Sorry, you go down that rabbit hole, and you never come up, you know, and it's just too soon to try to figure out how this is going to play out. But we're here to talk about it, the Bills and the Dolphins. You can feel the vibe in the air with, as Donald said, practice going on outside in the – well, indoors, but outside.
Outside in the indoors.
In the indoors in the at Pro Sports Training Center, where they cranked down the temperature, at least cranked off the heat, in order to replicate the conditions, I would think, coming up on Sunday, where the forecast calls for temperature in the mid-30s, a slight chance of some precipitation, not much. And the reason they're not in the stadium is because they're still cleaning out the stadium, believe it or not. How about a salute to these people who have been shoveling now? And it's been about a week and a half, obviously, with a big snowstorm last weekend. They had to do it all over again this weekend. And it looks like, as far as the seating area, it's pretty much looks like it's pretty much clear of snow. Actually, no, upper deck. In the upper deck, you can still see a lot of snow and a lot of snow shovelers up there. But it's a task, and it's bitingly cold out here in Orchard Park today. So that is not an easy job. And they've still got work to do, obviously, to get the snow cleared out of the seats. The field is good. They've got the tarp down. They've had it down all week, and they're ready to go with that. And barring any major snowfall event, I guess there's some snow coming this way overnight. They should be good to go for the Bills and the Dolphins on Sunday. But really, a salute to those hardworking folks out there. Yes, they're getting paid. Yes, they're even getting some Bills tickets. But that's just backbreaking, freezing cold work out there. And God bless those people. I hope they're healthy and going to be okay out there.
You know, we're talking about the team and being outdoors in the indoors facility here at AdPro. I mean, what type of conditions could you prepare for? I mean, these guys are prepared for anything now. You know, after playing in that snow that they just played in, there's nothing else. Coach, I mean, you might as well turn the heat up on us and let us just enjoy this last day of warm weather. I mean, we're prepared for anything that's going to happen on this Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, I've been thinking about this too, and I was writing some stuff today. I was going to talk to McDermott about it today, but when you think about it, you know, he started out the home portion of the schedule talking about defend our dirt, right? They've got the sign up on the tunnel going out to the field here in Orchard Park, defend our dirt. Now it's defend our dirt with some snow on top of it. But what happened last Sunday, and I don't want to harp on this, but what happened last Sunday, I would think would reinforce – to those Bills players that this is their home field. This is their conditions. These are the conditions in which they excel, not the opponents. They can use that to their advantage, a mental edge, I believe, knowing that you're probably never going to get conditions like you had last Sunday ever, right, ever again, home or on the road. But knowing that they can pull out a win, a difficult overtime win last week in those conditions, I would think would go a long way towards reinforcing for those players that this is our place. These are our conditions. This is where we win. They're 5-2. If they beat the Dolphins Sunday, the Bills will be 6-2 at home, which would be their best home record. Last time they were 6-2 was the last year they made the playoffs, 1999.
You know, it's when you think about the conditions out there, how many guys have we had on today? And I mean, not today, but this week. And you ask them, you know, have you ever played in something like that? And they're like, nah.
Nobody has. Never.
Yeah, you know, so this is, guys, on this team, this is as bad as you're going to play in, what you just played in. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can handle it. You won that game. You came out on top. You can handle anything. But this is what, now you know, you have an idea of what it can get to in Buffalo, though, you know. But there's nothing that you're not prepared for now. And just understand that this is Buffalo. This is what it's like here. You're not probably not going to play in a game like that again, but you can get rain, you can get wind, you can get some snow. You know, you just have to be ready for it, and you have to use that to our advantage and use it against the other team, you know, especially a team like the Dolphins that's coming up. They're not used to playing in anything like this.
Right.
They're not. You know, they're used to playing in 75 and sunny or warmer than that. You know, the coldest that they'll get is 60 or something. I mean, it'll get cooler down there, but typically they're playing in 60 to 75 or above and sunny. If it's not sunny, it's just raining. You know, so these guys are not used to playing in this cold weather. Use that to your advantage. When you get out there, hit them in the mouth. This is so-called a physical team. There's a physical defense. They got a good offensive line that has been playing. I guess if they play well against the Patriots, they're riding high right now because they just beat the Patriots. They are on a short week. They're coming up to Buffalo where they're not used to this type of weather. Hit them in the mouth early. Get on top early. Score early. And just put them away, you know, and send them back down to Miami. We'll come to see y'all in a couple of weeks.
2 weeks. We'll be down there. So is the weather a factor against the Dolphins this week? I don't know. It might be. What do you think the factors are for the Bills? And that's our Twitter poll today. What is the key to a Buffalo Bills victory on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins? Can you isolate it down to one thing? What's the one thing the Bills have to do to get a victory over the Dolphins on Sunday? That's our Twitter poll. We'd like to hear from you on the phone, 803-0550, the number, or outside Buffalo toll-free at 1-888-552-550. Or on Twitter, vote on our Twitter poll. What is the key to a Bills victory over the Dolphins on Sunday? Early balloting is in. 36% of you, pretty evenly split here, about a third of you, a little bit more, 36% say the key is to make Jay Cutler uncomfortable. 31% say the key is to have LeSean Shady McCoy lead the offense, run the ball well. 31% of you say the key is to have Tyrod Taylor get the ball downfield. 2% have something else in mind. What do you think? What's the key to a Bills victory over the Dolphins on Sunday? 803-0550, the number, toll-free, 1-888-552-550, or on Twitter. All of that is important, but to me, it's pretty basic, especially in expected weather conditions. Bills have to run the ball well, and they have run the ball well. Last 4 weeks, McCoy averaging 100 yards per game. I think something like that, 100, 110, under 20 on the ground. I'd feel pretty good about the Bills' chances of victory if they run the ball well. In particular, LeSean McCoy runs the ball well. He's got that carrot in front of him, 39 yards to get to 10,000. I anticipate that will be bypassed this week. They'll get beyond that. He's averaging like 4.7 yards per carry over the last month, which is really good. So I think the key for Buffalo, no matter the conditions, is to run the ball well. And, yep, it's a formidable defensive front for Miami, but I think they can do it. What do you got, Donald?
It's a formidable defensive front for Miami, especially up in the middle with Ndamukong Suh, who is one of the best defensive tackles in the game today. The dude is a beast. You know, he really is a beast out there up in the middle. But guess what? This is a team really full of pass rushers, you know, and you can run the ball on this team. You definitely need to run the ball on this team. You have a defense that is fast flowing, you know, and I don't think that you can use – I think you can use some misdirection in this game, you know, some counters, different things like that. Get them going, flowing in one way. You get LeSean McCoy cutting back, going the other way, you know. LeSean McCoy is probably – I mean, I don't know if he and Kiko Alonso still have some beef going on, but, you know, he'll want that one-on-one.
Yeah.
He want that one-on-one with Kiko Alonso. And, look, you got to get him going. You got to get LeSean McCoy going. Everybody here in Buffalo, and to be honest with you, everybody nationally knows that this team goes with LeSean McCoy. Whatever he can do, if he's having a good game, he goes over 100 yards, the team is in a better chance of winning the game. You know, so they need to make sure that they get him going. And then they need to also pass the ball. You know, we don't know what's going on with the receiving core, but Tyrod Taylor needs to be able to pass the ball, get the ball down the field, get the ball down the field. That's going to ease things up for LeSean McCoy. If you're not getting the ball down the field, it makes it so much harder because this is a formidable defensive front. And you do have some playmakers on the back end. You do have some safeties that like to get down there in the box and make some hits. So you need to throw the ball down the field, take some shots early in the game to Deontay Thompson, to whoever else is out there on the field, and just scare that defense a little bit so that they're not just up in the box where LeSean McCoy is trying to run against 8, 9, 11 dudes.
We got lines open for you if you'd like to chime in on this. What's the key? One key. Can you isolate it down to one key for the Bills to beat the Dolphins on Sunday? 803-0550 is the number, or outside Buffalo, it's toll-free. Call at 1-888-552-550. Or you can do it on Twitter. You can vote on our Twitter poll or interact with us on Twitter. Let us know what you think the key to a Buffalo victory over the Dolphins on Sunday. We got a good show here coming up. Our usual packed lineup of Friday. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, will join us to give us his take on how the Bills can handle the Dolphins if they can't handle the Dolphins on Sunday. Coming up at 1 o'clock, a regular Friday visit from Greg Cosell, analyst and co-host of ESPN's NFL matchup. Greg Cosell will talk about the Bills-Dolphins matchup. I'm curious to get thoughts from him on what the Dolphins did defensively to basically handcuff Tom Brady on Monday. He must have seen something that day.
Yeah, I'm sure he's seen something on film. He's probably going to be able to break it the whole thing down.
Yeah.
You know, that was a big loss. It was a big win for the Dolphins, but not something that anyone was expecting on a primetime Monday night game for the Patriots to come out and play the way they did. You could say that you weren't expecting that, but at the same time, the Patriots had won how many games in a row? You know, something like 9 games in a row or something. It was almost time for them to have a letdown at some point, you know, and it showed on Monday night. It was against the Dolphins, but the Dolphins played well. They really did. Jay Cutler played well. So, you know, we need to talk to him about that defense, how they shut down the Patriots, really, and talk to him about Jay Cutler and how he looked to Greg Cosell.
So Greg Cosell from NFL Films at 1 o'clock. Fred Jackson, one of the all-time favorite Buffalo Bills.
I'm coming home.
Excuse me?
You don't know that song?
No.
Oh, man.
Was that for Fred or just was that just?
Well, Fred is coming home. I mean, this is home for Fred, basically.
Okay, I don't know if you had some Tourette syndrome going on here or something.
Coming home to a place that I belong.
Fred Jackson will join us at 1:30 today. One of your favorite teammates? I know you had a lot of good buddies.
Yeah, Fred and I told you, Fred and I had, like, this whole thing like Lorenzo and I. So we might go back and forth. You know, I might have – and you're going to probably team up with Fred, and then you guys are going to both go at me, and then Lorenzo's going to come on for his lowdown later on, and you guys are both going to team up on me. You know, it's
going to be a rough day for you.
This is a rough day. It's a rough day. I have the producers on my side, though. Jay Harris, he's on my side. You know, the interns, everybody. They have my back.
Choosing sides.
But on set, I have no one.
13 minutes into the show, we're choosing sides. Coming up at 2, the lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, plus coffee with the coach, Chris Brown, and Sean McDermott. A lot coming up here today. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. If you have a thought on this or anything regarding the Buffalo Bills, what is the key for a Bills victory on Sunday? Let us know what you think. News of the day, while the Bills continue to practice out there inside the AdPro Sports Training Center, quarterback Tyrod Taylor, good to go. He will start Sunday against the Dolphins. Quarterback Nathan Peterman remains in concussion protocol. No timetable for him coming out of the protocol. May or may not be ready to play Sunday. Backing up Tyrod, if he can't go, Joe Webb would be the number two. Webb, the number two quarterback right now. Cordy Glenn placed on injured reserve today. The veteran left tackle, his season is over after struggling with foot and ankle injuries the last few weeks. Cordy's going to go to Dr. Robert Andrews for a procedure on his foot and his ankle. Bills hope that he's ready for the offseason program in the spring. McDermott talked about it today at his 10 a.m. news conference, made the announcement that Cordy Glenn's season is over.
Cordy Glenn on IR. Cordy just, somewhat of a frustrating year overall. We realize his talent. He's going to have a procedure in the near future with Bob Anderson, one of the best in the world at what he does. And really the whole goal is to get Cordy into a place where he's ready to go for the offseason program and can have a productive offseason, put this behind him, and move forward.
Cordy Glenn, as Sean McDermott said, a frustrating season for him. Cordy Glenn's season ends with just six games played, five starts, and it was difficult for him all year to get healthy and stay on the field. McDermott talked more about that today.
Couldn't get back to total health this year overall. We practiced the last couple of weeks here. We were heading in the right direction, and, you know, we just felt like at this time it was just right to, move forward, getting him totally healthy and ready to go for that offseason program and come out next offseason and have a great offseason ready to go.
Just one procedure on either the ankle or the foot, not multiple procedures?
It's one procedure as far as I know right now. I'm not a doctor, so.
What was the tipping point that made you guys go that way after, you know, was it a thought at all before the season, and what sort of led to it?
Well, really, you know, not too much more than what I already shared, Matt. It's really just, you know, we thought we could get him back, and we were moving in that direction a couple different times. He was back and played well, and then, as we get into the last quarter of the season, we just felt like it was the right thing to do for him and then moving forward for our team. He's a good football player, and to get him ready to go for that offseason program, it's similar to some of the other players we've done that with. Hey, let's have a strong offseason, get ready to go, and be ready to go come the start of the offseason program there.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, talking about Cordy Glenn. Don and I will talk more about that in a minute. The rest of the news of the day, though, Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver, going to practice, is practicing just a little bit now, probably on a limited basis. McDermott says he feels good about Benjamin's chances to play on Sunday. He remains day-to-day. Offensive lineman John Miller ruled out for Sunday. It will be the 10th straight week that Miller is inactive. So there you go. You are updated on what's going on here at One Bills Drive. Phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We want to know what your biggest key is for a Buffalo victory on Sunday. Before we move on to that, though, Donald, on Cordy Glenn, the emphasis from Sean McDermott today, it seemed, was on getting Cordy Glenn ready for the offseason conditioning program. I believe there's a signal being sent there, a signal to the rest of the NFL. Like, we want this guy. We're going to get this guy healthy. And maybe, just maybe, I'm just throwing this out there, maybe creating a trade market for Cordy Glenn. You could get, a decent draft pick, even for Cordy Glenn, coming off of an injury-plagued season this year. You could, what do you think, third round, fourth round for Cordy Glenn in this offseason? And they got to like, I know they like, in fact, McDermott said today, he asked about Deion Dawkins. He said, Dawkins has been, I think the word was phenomenal. He had a great game again last Sunday in the snow, Deion Dawkins at left tackle. So with the salary that's out there for Cordy Glenn, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a little bit of trying to create some trade market buzz for Cordy Glenn for the offseason. And I wonder if we just saw the beginning of that today.
Well, you're going to see a lot of teams that will be on the market or in the market for a left tackle. Cordy Glenn is a very good left tackle in this league. When healthy, he is a very good left tackle. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if, look, we need him to be ready for this offseason program, and there's a signal being sent out to the rest of the league. We want this guy, like you said, we want this guy, but if you want to take a shot at him, call us up. Let us know what you want to give up for this tackle. And I would think, yeah, you'd be able to get a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick for Cordy Glenn right now. Maybe even, you know, a third and a sixth or something like that. You can pick up some more draft capital for Cordy Glenn. I think that would be a good move. I think, to be honest with you, I think Cordy at this point in his career and for this team, it's probably better, and this is my opinion, that they go in different ways. You know, I think Cordy needs a fresh start somewhere else, and I think that this team now has settled in on Deion Dawkins as they traded up to draft him in the second round. He stepped in and done a very good job. So I don't think Cordy actually, people will say, well, why can't you move him to the right side? No, you're paying him left tackle money, you know, so it's probably best for Cordy Glenn to move on, get a fresh start somewhere else, and for this team to go ahead and move on from Cordy and pick up somewhere else. And you know, you're set with Deion being your left tackle, and you can figure out the rest of your line in the offseason.
Well, I mean, the contract will not be easy to move, but they did it with Marcel Darius. They found a taker.
I think much easier in the offseason, right? Like, you got to believe it's much easier to trade somebody in the offseason, even with that contract, because the team's already making moves anyway, you know, to get lighter in their cap and all of that stuff. Yeah, it's a lot harder to make that happen during the season. I was shocked that they could make that happen with Marcel during the season, but they found a trade partner. So if they were able to get that done during the season, It won't shock me if they can make a trade happen in the offseason for Cordy Glenn.
Of course, the fact that he, what did I say, 6 games played, 5 starts, that won't make it any easier to trade him, right? People are going to look at him hard. They're going to have to look at this surgically repaired foot and ankle, or at least a procedure today, and they're going to have to figure out, is he damaged goods? Can we count on his foot and ankle being good
to
go?
Do teams you probably can't do that because he's still on this roster. So, the Bills would have to do a very good job of proving that Cordy is healthy, and I don't know how you do that in the offseason.
Right.
Because it's not like a team can call him in for a workout or something like that. The Bills will have to do a very good sell job.
Yep.
You got to become a used car salesman.
And that might impact the, what they get back in return, if there's a trade. We don't know. Mm-hmm. McDermott talked today about having Cordy Glenn around for the offseason conditioning program. So there it
used
is.
Used cars. You ever buy a used car and the dude just won't let you go? And you're like, dude, I'm going to look somewhere else, man. Let me leave. If I want to come back and get this car, I'll come back. But can I leave, please?
And then they call about 300 times.
They'll call you. First, they get the manager over, and the manager comes over, and he's like,
this deal won't be available tomorrow. Yeah, right? Why?
That's how the Bills have to be with Cordy.
Yeah. Today, you got to make the deal today or Cordy won't be available tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
All right, what do you think? Keys to a victory for the Bills on Sunday. Give us a call, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We'll start with Gary in Arcade, New York. Go ahead, Gary. You're on the air with us.
Yeah, hi, John. Hi, Donald. I appreciate you taking my call. I enjoy your show. In fact, I especially enjoy a former player giving his input in the game and in the league, and that it's very enjoyable. Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to talk about the coach, the head coach, and I really hope that the fans in Buffalo would give this guy a chance and not jump all over him every time a call is made, because I've been a fan since the 1960s. I'm in my 60s. My father and I watched football right from the time when Jack Kemp was the quarterback. So we've been watching it a long time. And my point is that a guy like what we have now, I think he's going to be a really good head coach. And I think people just need to give him time to settle in, to seat into his position here. And if they would have patience with this, I think they will see a very successful program. But if you want to see a success next year, it isn't going to happen. You got to give him time, and you got to give him time and the general manager a chance to draft the people or make trades and all that kind of thing in order to establish a winning team. And it isn't going to happen overnight. It's not like McDonald's where you have it your own way in 5 minutes. You just have to have patience, and I hope people can understand that and realize that good things take time. Thanks,
Gary.
Yeah, Gary. You're definitely right with what you're talking about. It sucks because that's the league that we are in. These coaches understand when they get hired that they only have a certain amount of time. I hope that he gets enough time to really turn this thing around. Even if they were to go into the playoffs this year, you still truly need to turn the team around. Just making it in 1 year, you didn't turn this whole program around. You just, you had a good year and you ended up in the playoffs. But you want to build a sustainable organization, a sustainable team every year in the playoffs or around the playoffs. You want to be one of those teams, like people look at the Patriots, every year. Man, all right, the Bills are going to be on top of it again. That's how you want to be, so it's going to take time to be able to get that done. It's going to take some ugly moves, moves that people don't agree with. You got to make those moves because you've been doing the same thing for 17 years. So now things have to change, all right? Certain guys on the team won't be here. Certain things around the building won't be happening anymore. And we've been seeing that this year, and it, as ugly as it is, you got to believe that it's for the better of the organization, and hopefully he gets enough time to really turn this thing around.
Here's a call from Terry in Buffalo. Go ahead, Terry. Welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Terry?
Terry, we talked about this.
Terry? How about Dave in Amherst? Dave, welcome. You're on the air with us. Are you there?
Hey. Thanks. Hi. Yeah, you two do a nice job. I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Now, to answer your question, excuse me if I'm going to be redundant because I don't get to watch your show every day, unfortunately. To answer the question, my answer is it's been the same all year, is why doesn't Dennison put plays in that match the skill set of our quarterback? He doesn't have to change the entire offense. or does he? I don't know. You guys are the experts. Why doesn't that happen? The obvious answer to your question is the running game, the way Dennison structures it and forces him to stay in the pocket. We haven't been overly successful so far this season, but I think we could be a lot more successful if you put a few plays in to match his skill set and get the ball down the field to some of our qualified receivers.
I agree with that. I'd like to see more shots downfield. I don't know why that's not a bigger part of their offense. And now we're at the point of the on the calendar where you never know. Could be difficult on a week-to-week basis. Last week, you got to throw out of the mix. The running game has come around. The Bills are the sixth-ranked running offense in the NFL now. Sixth. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, top 10 rushing attack, where they were nowhere near that about a month and a half ago, and they managed to turn it around.
It's crazy, right? Like, you look back to the beginning of the season, the first half of the season, it was like, where is this running game? The fact that they're actually a top 10 right now in the league is amazing, you know, and it just goes to show that, number one, they stuck with it. Number two, they finally got LeSean McCoy going. He's had a few good games here, especially this last game where he went for 156, I believe he went for. Mm-hmm. And that's what this team is. Now, you do still need to make sure that with your quarterback you can take shots down the field, because if that's going to be your offense, if you're going to be a running team and then a play action, anybody who's watched football for a long time, if you watch that type of team, oh, this is a run team, they run the ball, play action, shot down the field. They haven't done that this year. You know, last week was the first time we actually seen shots being completed down the field, you know, and they only had three of them. So you need to make sure that you have the quarterback that is taking those shots down the field. I don't know if that's not a part of their offense. I don't know if Tyrod is just not comfortable throwing the ball down the field to these guys, but you got to see it happen, you know, and it needs to happen really this week because you're playing against a defense that is fast, a defense these guys are pretty good. In my opinion, this defense is good, and if you just want to say, look, we're going to run the ball, throw it underneath, crossing routes, that's hard to do against a defense like this. They're playing high right now. They're riding high. They just play very good against a Patriots offense, and so they're playing with a lot of confidence. And so you need to do something to really minimize that confidence.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to continue this discussion. The key to a Buffalo victory on Sunday against the Dolphins, what do you think it is? You can vote in our Twitter poll or ring us up at 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. We're going to talk about it with Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. He is going to be in studio with us, and you can join in that conversation as well on the telephone line. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. The Bills continuing to practice inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. That should be wrapping up momentarily, I would think. And we continue to do our show until 3 o'clock today with a lot of good guests coming up, including our next one. He's here every Friday to talk about the upcoming matchup. We have laser-like focus from Mark Kelso on every game, including this week's game against the Miami Dolphins. Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, former Bills safety, joins us in studio. Good afternoon, Mark. Welcome back to Orchard Park, and welcome to week 16, is this? No, 15 of the NFL.
And almost every week, not quite every week.
Yeah, you missed one, but that's okay.
I think we missed one, but...
Did you watch? I know you were busy all week. Did you watch the Dolphins-Patriots matchup Monday?
I did not. I mean, I saw the end of the game, but but I did study it on film subsequent to that, yeah.
Who are those guys in the Dolphin uniforms?
I'm going to tell you what. They were in the throwback uniforms, yeah. And they were playing some throwback football because they were outstanding. And when you watch it on film, you're just as impressed had you been able to have the opportunity to watch it live. But they did so many things, and you start studying them, and you start charting all the first down defenses. I bet they ran 10 different first down defenses. They never had the same look on first down. They're playing man, they're playing robber, they're playing two man, they're playing cover two, they're playing quarters, they're playing their blitz package of choice is the 51 backer when they're bringing like four guys off one side and one guy off the other and playing man on the back end. So they did that a lot. And they really – I mean, this is hard to say because I don't think I've ever said this in 12 years. But and from a defensive perspective, they really confused Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And from an offensive perspective, they gave the New England defensive backs a clinic in how to defend man defense – or man – or excuse me – how to play man defense because the offense was moving. They moved every single play. They got themselves in stacks positions. They run every kind of middle crossing pattern you can possibly run, and they were picking guys off right and left and creating openings. And Jay Cutler, as we all know, has a terrific arm, and sometimes not as accurate as he needs to be, but he certainly was accurate this week and found some of those receivers. It was really an impressive effort.
The one guy, there's a couple guys who jumped off the screen. Number one, Jay Cutler, because he actually showed up. Number two, though, number 25, Xavien Howard, had some big-time interceptions. He's had four in the last 2 weeks. What do you see out of him on film?
Well, and the one was spectacular. I mean, Cooks was behind both Rashad Jones and Howard, and he just – I mean, he made up just the last step and a half. That ball was 60 yards in the air from Tom Brady, and he made up that last step. I don't think he knew he caught it, but he obviously knew he had defended it, and then he comes up, and then he ran out of gas. so he's returning it. He's like, I am so tired, man.
He had room on the other
side. No, he's like, I got to get out of bounds.
It's one of the great interceptions I've seen.
It was fantastic. No, there's no question about that. But they just confused them all game, and then they did a really nice job of being patient at the line of scrimmage and getting hands on those receivers, actually collisioning them, even in situations where they weren't playing man. They're going to play cover two, but they're going to create disruption, and they're going to back off. Look, this team is really interesting inside. So they've got guys inside with on the defensive side of the football with Ndamukong Suh, right? They've got him inside. Now you got Phillips, and he is tough to handle inside. He's 6'6". He can't rush the passer at all. So what does he do? In a passing situation, he's going to stay at the line of scrimmage and try to get in a sight line and put his hands up.
He's long arms,
extremely
long.
Yeah, and he's going to stay there and try to deflect. Then you got Branch that's screaming around the edge. And Cameron Wake looked like he's about 15 pounds bigger, and he is – I mean, he is just – he's a wrecking crew there. And then you got a linebacking core that's – with the exception of Timmons, it's really built for speed so that they can cover some of those guys coming out of the backfield. And then on the back end, I mean, you've got some big corners that they can really get hands on guys. And Jones and McDonald are playing really well, and they're spinning those safeties all the time. I mean, they really have a good thing going right now. If they can play to that level again this week, then it's going to be a difficult task on Sunday.
I was watching video last night, Dolphins it was an earlier this year Monday night football game. I can't remember who it was against. But our buddy Kiko, who can run all day, overruns plays a lot in the run game, Mark. Did you see that? He runs himself out of position once in a while. A lot, actually.
Well, and he didn't against New England. And here's the difference. And you go back and watch some of those earlier games, and they had linebackers lining up on the same level. Now they've got Timmons lining up at about four, and then Kiko lines up sometimes at six, and then you've got Allen who lines up at maybe 5 yards. So they got all those guys at different levels, and that creates some confusion for the offensive line when they're coming downfield to block those guys. But, yeah, he can overrun guys at time, but what he can do extremely effectively is run over the top of blocks and then get back in on the play. But if he's not a real stout guy. I mean, I think he's a terrific athlete. But
he's no bigger now than he was when he played here.
Right, and if you get your hands on him, you can push him by the play. So he needs to have that extra half a yard or yard of distance so that he's able to run over the top of plays and then get back in on plays. But the great thing about him is that he can cover on the edge. So you put a running back out there. Now, I think if you put LeSean McCoy out there, LeSean's going
to
be really difficult. But Lewis and James White, those guys, I mean, he has some ability to cover. There's no question. There was a big third down stop he made against Burkhead. When have you ever heard the Patriots go 0-for on third down?
I
mean, that's unheard of. And they weren't, to that point, the defensive unit of the Miami Dolphins was not real good on third down. They were okay, but they weren't great. But they put together a great effort Monday night.
You know, since I've met you, and I wonder if this is because you played safety that you actually pay attention to this a lot, the guys in front of you. But since I've met you and you're talking about defense, you always talk about the depth of linebackers. That is like your pet peeve when guys are not deep enough or not close enough to the line of scrimmage.
Right. Well, and I think that's all about angle of entry. And the game is the margin of error is so slim. And you've got 4 inches or 5 inches to get to the edge of an offensive lineman that's trying to block you. And if the offensive lineman gets you in his clutches, then the running back's going to be gone. It's going to be a split second. So, I mean, you look at teams, there's only a couple guys who line up that play really good linebacker that line up tight. Keekly sometimes lines up a little closer than you'd like, but he's got so much speed and he really understands how to attack the proper shoulder of the offensive lineman that he's a guy that gets away with it. But you look at the teams that play really good defense, and the Patriots play really good defense. Those guys line up at 5 yards. You need to make sure that you have some separation so that you can adjust to what the running back's going to do. That's what the inside and outside zone is all about. I'm going to run tackle to tackle, or sometimes I'm going to try to get outside. And if you start and get caught up in all that traffic, it is going to create opportunities in the running game. And there's a lot of things. That's not the only thing you've learned from me.
Well, no, I've learned a lot, but I always hear you talk about the depth of linebackers when you're talking about
it. Yeah, and I harp on that a lot, and I harp on getting hands on receivers, but that's one of the things they did against New England, this Miami defense, is they disrupted the passing game. There's no question about it. They had guys in the middle of the field playing some robber coverage, and then they brought that 51 backer package we call it that because you got five guys rushing and one of them's generally a linebacker. Sometimes you drop off a defensive end, then you're playing man defense with a free safety on the back end, and that caused a lot of problems for Tom Brady in that offensive line.
With Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, talking about his keys to a Buffalo victory, what are your keys? Here's Carl in Clarence on the line. Go ahead, Carl. Welcome. You're on the show with us.
Hey, thank you. Before I say anything, I just want to tell Mark, I honestly believe that you could be a head coach in this league. Your knowledge is unbelievable. The way you break down almost every play, what happened, why it happened, and what you would have done. Even a lot of times I think John's like, what?
Oh, yeah.
You have so much knowledge. It's amazing. I think if you interviewed, you'd eventually get a head coaching job.
Well, I appreciate that. That's thoughtful of you. And I do a lot of study. There's a lot of work that goes into having those positions. And quite frankly, I don't know that head coaching would be my best area of strength. I really love coaching defensive backs, and I did that for a long time at the high school level, and a couple years at the collegiate level as well. So I do appreciate your sentiments, no question. And I guess I would say that because I played the game, you see things a little bit differently than maybe somebody else who was just watching the film. But it just takes time, and it's not overly complicated, but if patterns start to develop, the more time you spend with it, just like anything, any job. So I do appreciate that, but I think a lot of people can do it and do it at a high level if they spend enough time preparing and trying to understand the game.
With Mark Kelso, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. Mark, everybody's impressed with what the Dolphins did last Monday. There are 12 games before that, including a 5-game losing streak and some really brutal losses, a shutout loss at Baltimore, a tough loss in London against the New Orleans Saints. They're very inconsistent. So as good as they played the other day, I'm not convinced they bring that game to Orchard Park on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not convinced either, particularly with the weather conditions and things they're going to have to be dealing with that are kind of outside the game. But
coming off the high of the big win over
New England. Yeah, and a distinct effect on the game. But I'll tell you, they did things differently. They did things differently in that game than they did the previous New England game. And I think that's one of the reasons that they found an opportunity for success. But no question, they didn't have as much consistency. I agree with you. Earlier in the year, Kiko was overrunning plays, and they didn't seem like they were working. They just didn't have a good rhythm offensively, for sure. And part of that was Jay Cutler, and then the injuries to Jay Cutler, and then the fact that they had to cajole him out of a vacation in Europe or something, right, to come to the team.
They were in San Diego, and
he seems like he's having some fun. And there's no question. I mean, you could say anything you want about Jay Cutler. I think his record is probably around 500 for the length of his career, but you can say anything you want about him, and it better include this: he has a rocket on the end of his shoulder, and if you're not careful, I mean, he can sling it as far as anybody in this league. There's no question about that, and he can fit it in tight windows. Now, the one thing is, sometimes he tries to fit it in too tight a window, and then he has some problems. But he can certainly sling it around. The Ajayi situation, so they send him to Philadelphia, and you think, who's going to emerge there? And Williams is playing pretty well, and then Kenyon Drake he's got great contact balance, acceleration, looks like he has good vision, so he's been a bright spot for them. Landry is, I was saying that these receivers, they put on a clinic with New England about how to run routes against man defense. He will run, if he's going to run a 10-yard out, he might go five different directions before he runs the out. He starts out, then he goes vertical, and then he goes inside a little bit, and then he breaks off that outside foot to the out cut. And so he's going to stem routes. They've got, even the young guy, even Jakeem Grant. I mean, he's got tremendous speed in the short spaces.
You know, I like Landry. I like what he does. He's more of their, I guess, underneath type of receiver. Now, when he catches the ball, you better be ready to tackle him because he's like a running back when he gets it in his hands. The receiver, though, that truly, I don't want to say scares me, but the one that people really should worry about is Kenny Stills. And they use him a lot down the field, and he's been pretty good for them this year down the field.
Yeah, and what is he, second or third in catches? I think second behind Jarvis Landry. And you're right, Landry's the underneath guy, and he is a great run-after-the-catch guy. And I don't know what his speed is, but I don't know what his top-end speed is, but he's much better, certainly in the short to intermediate routes than he is in the deep routes. And then you got there's no question that still has a lot of game left, and if you're going to allow them to get free, they're going to be able to stretch you down the field, and Cutler's going to be able to get the ball to them. So they've got to find ways to prevent that, and it's going to be difficult. It's difficult. I don't think the Bills play man nearly as well as New England plays man defense. So if they had difficulty with this receiving core and that offensive package that they used Monday night, certainly the Bills would have trouble if they're able to execute with that same level.
What about Julius Thomas? I mean, a few years ago, Julius Thomas was emerging as one of the best tight ends in the league, at least, you know, catching the ball. Did he go to Jacksonville? He went to Jacksonville. Yeah. He had some injuries, didn't really hear much of him. What do you see out of him this year?
He's got some inconsistencies, there's no question. He's a huge target. He becomes a personnel mismatch, certainly against linebackers or just from a size perspective against a dime defender or one of the safeties. I mean, if Jordan or Micah are trying to cover him and he's got a size advantage over them, he can catch balls in tight spaces, and he becomes a really formidable underneath short target, probably just a short target, maybe an intermediate target like in an extended red on the 25-yard line so that he's going to go to the back pylon and have an opportunity for Cutler to throw it in. But he was fantastic in Denver, and I thought, man, what a great player and a difference maker. And then he went to Jacksonville and just kind of fell off the map, and part of that was because Bortles was young in his career and wasn't able to get the ball to those guys. So I haven't seen enough of him. I've just seen him in the context of a couple games. He's certainly, I think, a very significant contributing part of their offensive unit, but not a guy who I would consider a go-to guy for Jay Cutler. I mean, those guys are going to be probably Jarvis Landry is going to be the go-to guy in those situations, and even Drake maybe coming out of the backfield because they've orchestrated a lot of plays for him as well, where they're flaring him out and trying to when they're playing man defense and you've got that linebacker that's trying to cover him, they're going to get him out in the flat quickly and see if you can get there and cover that situation. And if you're flying out there to do it, he's got an opportunity to cut back against you, and it's a difficult tackle to make.
Hey, Mark, last thing. The schedule, the Dolphins just went through this playing the Patriots a couple of weeks apart. Now they play the first of two games in 3 weeks against the Buffalo Bills. Anything to be said about that? Does one team have an advantage over the other in playing these games, 2 weeks apart?
Yeah, I addressed this question with Joe Rose in Miami today, and
But did he phrase it better than I just did?
No, you're the master.
Oh, I'm not sure.
So I think it's the same. It's the same preparation level, I would think, for the players as it is for you and I. I mean, I say, well, what am I going to do when the Bills play the Patriots next week? I'm not going to complete any less pages and any less film study than I typically complete because things change, and I'm sure things will change in New England after the loss they suffered the other night, and see what happens to them this week against the Steelers, and they're going to modify their game, and it's not that they're going to come up with new things that they haven't done before, but they're going to come up with things, maybe be a little bit more creative, maybe with some pre-snap movement. So this is, now we're back to Miami. But, I mean, when they played New England the first time, they did not play them very effectively, so they did a lot of things offensively to keep that defense off balance and to get their guys in space and to try to create separation early in the down. And then a couple times they left guys in the block, and they left Thomas in the block, and then they try to extend it downfield. And then defensively, they did all kinds of other things as well to keep Tom Brady off balance and then find ways to pressure him, because that's the book on him. So you say, okay, you study this game, and then a couple weeks later you got to play him again. It could be completely different. You don't know if you're going to have the same people in the building because of injuries. And I think eventually, like in a critical situation, you may go back to a particular play that has been favorable for you over the course of the season, but you still have to execute, and you still have to, I think, plan your game plan To the same level that you always would, and prepare for them as if the weeks were any number of weeks apart that they typically are. Here's the thing that the NFL wanted to accomplish. Meaningful games late in the season. Mm-hmm. It's happening
they
right now
them.
Because
yep.
this is a big, meaningful game for the Bills, certainly. And if they win, they're still in the hunt. And if they lose, they're probably eliminated from the hunt.
Mark,
and,
thanks.
Yeah, pleasure. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Look forward to it.
Okay, Mark Kelso joining us in studio. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy and Donald Jones got a big show as we continue through this Friday afternoon. We thank Mark Kelso for joining us in studio. And we're wrapping up, Donald, talking to Mark Kelso about the almost back-to-back games here between the Bills and the Dolphins. And you had a point to make. It's going to be different for both teams, right, to have games so close together a couple weeks apart like this?
Yeah, it's going to be something that, look, the Dolphins talked about how they felt like they weren't physical enough. And that's just one thing. You know, I'm sure there was something on film that they saw, man, we could actually beat them this way. You know, mm-hmm. we didn't see that during the game. But coming back to the next game in 2 weeks, we're going to use that against them, you know. And it worked for them in that second game. So for both teams, they're going to have the same effect. There are going to be things that the Bills will use in this game that will work. There are going to be things that they use that won't work. And when they go to the next game in 2 weeks, they're going to look back at this film and say, okay, we can do it this way, and we probably can exploit them this way.
Yeah, and plus there's obviously going to be different weather conditions. Buffalo this week, Miami in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You wonder if you hold stuff back, you know, anticipating a change in the weather, right?
Yeah, you know, it's hard because at this point in the season, when you're sitting and trying to get into the playoffs, do you hold things back? You know, it's like every game truly, truly counts. I mean, every game counts, but at this point in the season, when you're sitting in the sixth and final spot and you have some tiebreaker games, all of that stuff that counts right now. You can't afford to really hold anything back. You need to put it all out there on tape and make sure you win every game.
You're right. All right, we got a lot more ground to cover here today. The Bills just wrapping up practice here. Tyrod Taylor should be good to go, ready to start Sunday against the Dolphins. More on that coming up. When we return after the break, Greg Cosell will join us, the analyst and co-host of ESPN's NFL matchup. We'll get his thoughts on the Bills-Dolphins matchup and some of the other matchups around the NFL. And at 1:30 today, Fred Jackson's going to join us in studio. He's ready to come in here and be the leader of the charge Sunday when the Bills play the Dolphins. So come on back for that. 803-0550, the number to call if you have comments, questions on any of this. Toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Greg Cosell up next, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports.
The update comes from One Bills Drive, where the Bills have wrapped up their practice inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. They turned the temperature way down as they worked out indoors. The stadium cleanup continues inside New Era Field. Quarterback Tyrod Taylor, good to go. Will start Sunday against the Dolphins. Quarterback Nathan Peterman remains in concussion protocol. No timetable for when he might come out of that. So Joe Webb, for now, would be the number two quarterback on the Buffalo roster going into Sunday's game. Cordy Glenn goes on injured reserve. His season is over with foot and ankle injuries. He'll go for a procedure on his foot. And Sean McDermott says they hope that Glenn is ready to go for the offseason conditioning program in the spring. Wide receiver Calvin Benjamin practicing a little bit today, limited in his work. McDermott says he does feel good about Benjamin's availability for Sunday. He remains day-to-day with his knee injury. Bills-Dolphins, 1 o'clock Sunday. You can hear the game right here on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, with network pregame coverage coming up at 11 o'clock. Arizona Cardinals are putting running back Adrian Peterson on injured reserve because of a neck injury. He confirmed that in a statement today. His season is over. A day after, Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians says he wasn't sure whether Peterson would return. Injuries are a recurring theme in Adrian Peterson's recent career. Broncos quarterback Trevor Siemian left last night's game against the Colts because of a left shoulder injury. Broncos won it 25-13. It happened on a sack by Barcavius Mingo. Siemian's second consecutive start since he replaced Paxton Lynch. Brock Osweiler replaced him and helped lead the Broncos to the victory. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier remains at a hospital in Pittsburgh, recovering from spinal stabilization surgery. He was strapped to a board and carted off the field during the first quarter of a December 4th game against Cincinnati. Earlier this week, the Steelers put Shazier on injured reserve. And the Buffalo Sabres host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 7 o'clock at KeyBank Center, the second of three games between the two teams this season. Carolina won the first matchup 3-1 in Buffalo back in mid-November. Sabres saw their four-game point streak snap on the road against the Philadelphia Flyers last night, 2-1 final. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. We continue on. John Murphy, Donald Jones with the John Murphy Show. Bills getting set to play the Miami Dolphins, and we're getting set to talk about that and other matchups in the NFL this weekend with the executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer of NFL Films, a regular Friday visit from Greg Cosell. Greg, good afternoon. It's John Murphy and Donald here. Thanks for joining us here today.
Gentlemen, it's always good to be with you guys. How you doing today?
Good. Did you have fun trying to break down that Bills-Colts video through the
snowstorm? You know, in the name of full disclosure, I have to tell you that I couldn't see it on the tape, so I didn't really get to watch it. Yeah. So, you know, I hope that's okay. But, you know, normally if I can't see something, I don't stay with it.
Yeah, nobody could see it. The coaches were throwing it out. It was crazy. Obviously, it's a difficult game to look at on video last week and a difficult game to take much from, Greg, other than the fact that the Bills hung in there and got the big McCoy run at the end of it, right? There's not a whole lot more to say about that, I would think.
No. You know, we were having this conversation in the matchup room today, and he's probably needs a few more years, but – is LeSean McCoy a potential Hall of Famer, Murph?
Yeah, we've talked about it. You know, he's going to get to 10,000 yards most likely on Sunday with 39 yards, and I think even he knows that he probably needs to get to 12,000. I crunched numbers earlier this week. I was looking at numbers. I think there's 15, 12,000-yard rushers in NFL history, Greg, and I think 13 of them are in the Hall of Fame. So he's probably a couple thousand yards away, which for Shady might be another two, maybe 2.5 years, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and you know, just one argument, and then we'll get to, you know, the game, but one argument that you always hear from people who say that a guy is not a Hall of Famer, like you hear this with Frank Gore, although he's now top five, but you hear, well, he was never the best running back in the league. I don't know if I agree with that when it comes to backs, because I think there's something to be said for longevity as a running back. I think that that's a trait in and of itself. If you can be a really good back for 10, 11, 12, 13 years, whatever the number of years is, I think that speaks a lot.
You know, you talk about people talking about numbers and longevity. I mean, there are some running backs in the Hall of Fame that didn't have the longest careers, you know. So
no.
I would think the fact that LeSean McCoy has, and you're talking about being the best running back in the league, you know, he hasn't necessarily been on the best teams always, and so he doesn't get talked about in the same way. But this dude has been playing the same way since he was with the Eagles. He shows up really week in and week out.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, he did lead the league in rushing one year, but I could be wrong on that, but I think that's true.
Greg Cosell joining us, executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can see it tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. on ESPN2 and Sunday, 6:30 p.m. on ESPN. Hey, Greg, let's talk a little bit about the Bills' opponents, the Miami Dolphins. And
sure.
Where did that team come from last Monday night? That wasn't – I mean, they've had an up-and-down season like Buffalo, but I didn't see anything like that prior in Miami's prior 12 games.
Well, it was really the coaching staff, Murph, that did a great job, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, because that was a game plan specific to Tom Brady and the Patriots. I don't think you'll see the same kind of thing this week. They played man coverage, but they played what we call one robber. So they took one of their safeties and basically put him in the middle of the field, about 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, and that player did not have a man responsibility, but he was there to take away all those in-breaking routes and crossing routes that the Patriots love to run. We've seen other teams do that at times through the years. We saw the Falcons do a great, great job of that in the Super Bowl last year for most of the game. We saw the Chiefs do something similar, not exactly the same, week one this season when they beat the Patriots. So the Dolphins' approach last week was very specific to the Patriots, and adding in press man on the outside to disrupt the timing of the receivers, that really impacted Brady as well.
You know, Greg, the one thing that you can say about this team, you can talk about that defensive front. Everything else has been inconsistent, but for the last couple of years, that defensive front of the Dolphins has been good. They can get to the quarterback. The last two times they played Brady, Monday night and 2 weeks ago, they hit him a lot, you know. So that is one part of this team that truly is scary.
Yeah, they do have a really good front. Obviously, Sue's a really good player inside. They've got a couple of rookies that they drafted who have been factors. Godshaw's a defensive tackle from LSU. Really liked him coming out. and I really liked Charles Harris from Missouri, who I think they took 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's going to develop into a really good player. He's an explosive edge athlete.
They have Xavier Howard, you know, with four interceptions now the last 2 weeks, second-year player. What did you think about him coming out in the draft, and what do you think of his recent performance?
He was a Baylor kid. I really liked him coming out. Liked his size, liked his movement. They clearly decided he was their matchup corner against the Patriots. He matched up to Cooks and did a good job. It's funny how things work out, though. That first interception he made, and it ended up being very reflective of Brady's game because Brady was not sharp. But that first interception he made, he was beaten by Cooks. Mm-hmm. It was a deep corner out, and Brady was a beat late, which is rare, and he underthrew it quite a bit. If that was a typical Brady throw, that might have been a 40-yard gain, and we might be having a different conversation. But overall, he did a really good job in press man against Cooks.
The Bills should get, we said, you know, they're going to get Tyrod Taylor back. They probably are going to get Kelvin Benjamin back. How can Buffalo's passing attack go about, you know, trying to go against this Miami defense? What do you think the best advantage is for Buffalo, Greg?
Well, I mean, Benjamin does always present a positive for a team because of his size. So there's certain things they can do with Benjamin that they probably couldn't do before as far as one-on-one matchups. But I think for the most part, it's still a passing game with Tyrod that has to work off designed concepts in what are normal down and distance situations, ideally work off the run game with run formations, play action. I think that's the best way for them to have some kind of consistent success throwing the ball. Now, I don't know if they'll put Howard on Benjamin. I mean, Howard is a big corner. And I don't know who's if Tankersley is due to play this week or not. He was out last week. The rookie from Clemson, so they played Alteron Verner as the other corner. He's smaller, so I imagine that Howard would match up to Benjamin.
You know, Greg, we've joked about Jay Cutler, even with you, since we've had you on early in the season. We've joked about Jay Cutler and his inconsistencies. Some weeks he looks like he wants to be, you know, totally naked taking pictures on a deck. Other weeks he looks like he wants to actually be playing quarterback. What did you think about him Monday night?
Oh, he was solid Monday night. You know, I think the thing with Cutler, because he can make throws, is the issue with him has always been the head-scratching interception. And if he doesn't do that, if he doesn't turn the ball over, he can make throws. But I think, Donald, it's more interesting to talk about, I think, what they've done offensively, what they did last week. They've got Jakeem Grant, who's a small guy, maybe 5'7", 170 pounds, and they bring him in essentially in a four-wide receiver set. And a four-wide receiver set is a difficult personnel package for a team that only plays nickel, as the Bills do. So, you know, it just presents some problems. Now, you can play zone, of course, and theoretically that zone coverage can take care of any number of receivers. But they used those four wide receivers last week against New England, and New England plays a lot of man. So it caused some problems for New England.
Jarvis Landry, 88 catches so far this year, Greg, and most of his business is done kind of underneath, right? Short stuff, and he breaks tackles and gets downfield. What's the best way to defend against Jarvis Landry?
Well, again, I mean, you know, depending on how Sean wants to go about playing, if he plays man and he's in the slot, it'll be Leonard Johnson. If it's, you know, if he goes zone, then you're just then it's his own concept. You have to match up at some point when receivers run into your area, but there's no one who will follow Landry and run with him depending on his route. But Landry's a physical guy. He's very good between the numbers. You know, he's a really good player. They have, Murph, they've got good receivers.
Yeah.
The guy that's killed him, and you know, I don't know where they stand on him, has been Devontae Parker. Mm-hmm. Because he was, I think, the 14th pick in a draft. Mm-hmm. When he came out, a lot of people saw him as potentially similar to an A.J. Green-type receiver, and it hasn't quite turned out that way.
And one more thing. On the Dolphins' offense, it's been a, you know, remarkable turnaround for 2 weeks. They put up points against the Patriots, put up, I think, like 35 against the Broncos. The numbers are dramatic in terms of what they did from their five-game losing streak to the last two games. Have they changed things much, or did they just, you know?
Well, I don't know if they've changed things. They've really gotten production from Kenyon Drake now as their so-called feature back. He had two really good runs last week where he made unblocked defenders miss in the backfield. He was able to beat the penetration. So he's been able to give them a balance. A lot of people weren't sure when he came out of Alabama. They knew he could run fast, But if he could be, you know, a back that could carry 15, 17, 18 times a game, obviously the sample size isn't large enough to make that determination. But he certainly has showed some running skill, and there's an explosive element to him. And also, he can detach from the formation and line up as a wide receiver. So they bring a lot of dimensions. That's the word I like to use for an offense that gives you a lot. They bring a lot of dimensions to the table that you have to defend.
We started talking about this game, this Bills-Dolphins matchup this week here, Greg. My man Donald here said Dolphins have better personnel. Do you believe that to be the case, and do you think they would have the edge in this game on Sunday?
Better personnel than the Bills?
Than Buffalo, yeah.
Well, they have better offensive personnel without question. Defensively, I mean, I think their front is overall better than the Bills. If you start going through player by player on the overall defense, maybe not there, but their front's better. The Dolphins have talent, Murph. I mean, you know, for whatever reason, it just hasn't come together offensively with the consistency that they hoped. And the blame, I'm sure, from a coaching perspective, would go around to a lot of people, not just Jay Cutler. But they do have a talented roster.
With Greg Cosell, he is the executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, senior producer at NFL Films. All right, let's look at the team the Dolphins just disposed of, the Patriots. their attempt to recover with a big game on the road at Pittsburgh this week. How do you see this matchup, Greg?
Well, this is a matchup with a track record here, Murph. And it's a track record that's not good for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. And defensively, I think they're going to have to make some adjustments. They've been predominantly playing zone coverage against Tom Brady and often rushing three. And last year, for instance, in the AFC Championship game, Brady had 43 dropbacks. They played zone on 39 of them. Right. And if you can't pressure Brady and you're going to play zone coverage without rerouting receivers and just sort of play spot, drop, landmark zone coverage, Brady's going to find someone because there's voids in zones and he'll find people. So I think they're going to have to change that up, which doesn't mean they can do what the Dolphins did because that's not in their DNA.
Right.
But if Joe Hayden is able to play, they may be able to line up and play some more man-to-man coverage. And you have to, as Donald knows, you have to either disrupt the quarterback or you have to disrupt the routes. You have to do one or the other.
You know, what about the Patriots will obviously, and I think they were truly affected without Gronk in that Monday night game.
Yeah.
Now, they're going to have Gronk back, and the Steelers won't have, you know, Ryan Shazier. With the addition of Gronk and the subtraction of Ryan Shazier, I just don't think the Steelers have a chance.
Maybe not. You know, I think Shazier, to me, his absence showed up a little more in the run game against Baltimore. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure Baltimore, you know, has the level of passing game. And I'm not just talking about the quarterback position. I'm talking about the concepts within the passing game. I don't think the Ravens have that. But I thought that Shazier's absence showed up on a number of runs. Now, the Patriots, until last week, have been running the ball really, really well. I don't know how they'll see this game. I think if they get a sense that the Steelers are playing high-percentage zone, I think they'll throw the football.
Hey, Greg, maybe it's just Buffalo wishful thinking, but if you look at recent games from Tom Brady, the loss in Miami, the Bills didn't give up a ton of yardage or points to the Patriots a couple weeks ago. Even before that, the first Miami game, has Brady's play deteriorated or is the Patriots' offense kind of slowing down a little bit?
I think their offense is different, Murph, and I think whether it's a function of Cooks, whether it's a function of just making some adjustments or changes, I think this is a team that throws the ball down the field more. So what you're seeing is Brady taking deeper drops, getting hit a little more, and no quarterback likes to get hit. So I don't think he's deteriorated, to be honest with you. I think that the nature of the offense and the pass game has made it, you know, tougher for him. Just, you know, they're not that sort of quick game offense the way we always saw them.
Yeah.
So he's holding the ball more, taking more shots, having to move more. I think for the most part, he's done a good job. It's just that their offense is different, and it's not – when you're going to throw the ball deeper down the field, the efficiency is not the same as quick game kinds of throws.
You know, Greg, I want to look at the Steelers' offense in this game. Now, traditionally, at least over the last couple of years, Butler has done a very good job on Antonio Brown.
Correct.
You look at the last couple of years, I don't know what to really expect out of this game. Antonio Brown is playing as good as anybody in the league. You know, people are even talking about MVP for Antonio Brown. But what do you expect? How do you think they'll try to play Antonio Brown?
Well, just keep this stat in mind, guys. 42% of Antonio Brown's yards have come in just the last four games alone. That's remarkable. Jeez. But, again, we have a track record here. Here's what Bill Belichick's done in the past. He's put Butler on him, okay? But in critical situations, third downs, red zone, he's doubled Brown. I think you're going to see that. Bill Belichick has a history against quality receivers. He did it with Landry last week. You get in the red zone, he doubles. He normally will pick two receivers to double in the red zone, and he will do that. And then in critical situations in the field, third down, maybe some other down and distances that Bill thinks are important in a given situation, he will double the top receiver. So you're going to see Antonio Brown doubled in this game.
We're with Greg Cosell from NFL Matchup on ESPN. This is a matchup, the Chargers and the Chiefs, that has particular interest here in Buffalo because of playoff implications. Chiefs handled them back in September, Greg, but you look at that game when they played, Joey Bosa was effective, and Melvin Ingram had three sacks against Alex Smith in that game. It's got to be priority one, I would think, for the Chiefs going into this, pass protection, I would think, huh?
For sure, because this team can rush the quarterback. Ingram and Bosa are really, really good players, and their run defense has improved significantly since Denzel Perryman came back about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's sort of your classic inside stacked linebacker. So their defense is good, and Phillip Rivers, he's playing really good football. You know, people keep asking me, well, is this the best you've ever seen him? Phillip Rivers has been doing this a long time, guys. Yeah. He's pretty good now. But the last 4 weeks, he has been throwing the ball with tremendous accuracy. And I just love the way he has that subtle pocket movement and the way he can deliver the ball with bodies around him, almost as if he's oblivious to pressure in a good way. And he's playing at a high level right now.
You know, I want to get to Aaron Rodgers and his return to play this week. What do you think about the Packers with Aaron Rodgers? And just the fact that they've been able to kind of stay in this thing without Aaron Rodgers, can he actually take that team to the playoffs?
Well, this, you know, he did that last year. You know, I kind of call him a jazz musician, Donald. He's kind of an improv player. And they're going to be playing against a Carolina front, that will overmatch the Packers' O-line. So he's probably going to have to make plays outside of structure, second reaction plays, we call them. He's a master at that. The thing that he does perhaps better than anyone is when he moves, he doesn't throw checkdowns. He moves and he can drive the ball 20, 30, 40 yards down the field. So when you play zone, that's really hard. And when you play man, it's hard to plaster to a man for 5, 6, 7 seconds.
Hey, Greg, I want to get to the team in your neck of the woods down there, the Philadelphia Eagles, who suffered a major blow losing Carson Wentz. So now what did, like, Doug Peterson and Frank Reich, what do they do to get Nick Foles kind of keeping the ship going as best they can? And how much do you think that Eagles offense might change as they head to the Giants this week?
I don't think it'll change conceptually at all, because Nick Foles was in Kansas City last year with Andy Reid. This is essentially the same offense in terms of pass game concepts that's in Philadelphia right now. Obviously, he's not going to make the kinds of throws or plays that Carson Wentz can make. He'll run the offense. My concern with Nick has always been, I think he's been a little deliberate, both physically in terms of his drop and his set, and mentally as well at times, where sometimes I feel like he doesn't eliminate what's not there and isolate what's there quickly enough. So to me, he just has to speed himself up. But I don't think the offense tactically or conceptually will change.
Greg, I want to get into the Seattle and Los Angeles Rams game. But first, before we get into the game, I want to talk to you a little bit about Sammy Watkins. And there was an article that came out that talked about Sammy and how he's playing a little bit differently, how he's approaching the game differently. What do you see out of Sammy Watkins on film that this year that you might not have seen out of him in the past?
Well, I think he's moving really well, and I think he's open a lot. But the thing is he's in an offense where he's usually the X receiver, the backside receiver, the single receiver to the boundary in a lot of 3-by-1 sets. So in that offense, the front side, the three receiver side, is normally the main progression read. Now, they don't line up 3-by-1 every set. There's a lot of 2-by-2. But, you know, he doesn't get a lot of early looks, let's put it that way. So the numbers are not there, although I know he scored a lot of touchdowns. But watching him on tape, I think he moves really well, and I think he's been open an awful lot.
And as you look at the Rams and Seahawks, tell me what you're seeing from Russell Wilson, where he is at in as his career moves to kind of the midway point of his development. How much different a quarterback is Russell Wilson now than he was even 2 years ago, do you think, Greg?
You know, I think that he probably makes more plays from the pocket than people think.
Yeah.
But he's obviously a really good second reaction outside of structure quarterback. But sometimes that works, and for him it works more than not, but there are games it doesn't. It didn't work particularly well last week versus Jacksonville. So, you know, the big issue with Russell is, I think because of his size and because he doesn't play behind a real good offensive line, there is probably too many plays in which he moves when he doesn't have to. And that also makes it hard on an offensive line. So he's a really good player, no question. But I'm anxious to see his career going forward if he continues to play this way. You know, there's always that concern for quarterbacks who move. We saw with Wentz, and he hasn't even played a lot, that they eventually get hurt. We'll see if that happens with Russell Wilson.
Greg, I got one more quarterback to ask you about, and it is from the NFC West, and folks here are kind of rooting for San Francisco. You've got a couple of games now of evaluation on Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you see there, and how does he match with what your expectations might have been for him when he was sitting on the bench at New England?
I think he's been very good, Murph. And what I really like about him with that snap delivery and quick feet is he can stay in the pocket as long as he needs to and make a lot of throws that other quarterbacks can't make because he can wait to the last minute and then turn it loose. And he's got a snap, compact delivery. And I think because of that, see, that to me is the term make other players better. You don't make them better because, you know, you take your O-line out to dinner or because you pat guys on the back. This is tangible, measurable, on-field evidence of how you make guys better. He can stand there in the pocket, wait till the last minute, and then make throws. And I think that that's a strength of his game, and he's a really good short to intermediate thrower of the football.
Well, it's a really interesting week in the NFL this weekend, Greg, and I'm glad we have you to break it down for us. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Greg Cosell, the executive producer, analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can see that tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning on ESPN2, Sunday 6:30 in the morning on ESPN. Greg is also senior producer at NFL Films. I want to go back and listen to all of that all over again. You know, I do. I'm curious about Garoppolo. I'm fascinated by how this thing, they finally started playing him, and now we, you know, we're getting to see what everybody was excited about for Jimmy Garoppolo for the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, so many people talked about him being just a system quarterback, you know, and now you're seeing him in a different system outside of the Patriots team, you know. He's still playing with seems to be an offensive, very good offensive coordinator or offensive-minded coach, you know, in Shanahan, but now you can see him actually flourish somewhere else and be the starter and be the guy. I'm sure fans in San Francisco are very excited about having him as their franchise quarterback moving forward.
Yeah, the future. They're getting excited about the future. Yeah. All right, coming up in our future in just a minute, Fred Jackson's going to join us. Bill's one of the great all-time Buffalo Bills running backs who's here to be the leader of the charge on Sunday. Plus, the injury report is out for Sunday's game. We'll go over that with you and with Donald. And take your phone calls at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show continues from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio in Orchard Park. Practice is wrapped up. We've got the injury report coming up for you in a minute or two. But joining us right now in studio, very happy to have back for, I think, his second appearance since he left the roster. Happy to have Fred Jackson, Buffalo's third all-time leading rusher, coming back this week to be the leader of the charge. He'll bring the Bills out of the tunnel, out of the end zone tunnel coming up before kickoff. Fred Jackson, welcome back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
When'd you get back in town? Today? Yesterday?
Yesterday. We got in yesterday about noon, about lunchtime.
Guy like you comes back to Buffalo, I'm sure you have a long list of people you want to see and who want to see you, right?
I mean, that's true. You know, this is home. You know, it still is home. You know, even though we don't reside here permanently, you know, my wife and I think we've been back. This might be our 30th time back this year. So we're trying to get back just as much as possible. So You know, like I said, it's going to be home, and we have a lot of people we want to get around and see. And, you know, Buffalo fans have made me feel welcome ever since I've been back or been out here.
When you fly in, do people let you get through the airport? I mean, people notice you when you.
They do. But, I mean, it's fantastic. You know, I don't want people to ever think that they're bothering me when they're asking for a picture or, you know, or an autograph. I think that's one of the best things that you could do. If people want to take a picture with you, I mean, you must be doing something, right?
Yeah.
Fred Jackson's in studio with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, the phone line's open at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And right off the bat, Tony calling from Connecticut on the line. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the air with us.
Hi, John. Good afternoon.
Hi, Tony.
So normally I just listen, but today I just had to call when I heard that Fred was going to be there. And I just wanted to start by saying thank you, John. You're truly amazing. I really appreciate you being far from home, and you always just make me feel like I'm home listening to you on the radio.
Well, thanks, Tony.
Yeah. And, Fred, I just wanted to – I really feel honored to just share a word with you. I just wanted to tell you that I'm forever grateful for everything that you have always done. And every time I watched the Bills growing up, Fred was always there, you know. And honestly, I get emotional with all the memories that I have, and I just wanted to tell you thank you so much.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's a great way to call Fred old.
You would do that. Hey, he did say you watched me growing up, didn't he? Yeah. Hey, I appreciate that, though. I mean, that's what, as a professional athlete, I think what you want to do is you know, have people that feel connected to the game because of what you've done and, you know, how you played. And, you know, that means a lot to me to hear that, and I do greatly appreciate it.
Fred, how are you keeping busy these days? What are you up to these days?
I got these four things called kids.
Yeah, that'll keep you
man,
busy.
Man, they keep me – I'm definitely more busy now than when I was playing. You know, between – we're in basketball season now, and for some reason my wife decided she was going to talk me into coaching. And
oh, man, yeah, coaching?
I coached
– full-time coaching?
10 girls that are 8 years old, and it is a lot of fun, but a lot of work, and – I got two daughters and two nieces that are on the team, so it's a lot of fun doing that right now.
So you're drawing up plays and all types of stuff?
No, I'm just trying to teach them how to dribble. That's what we're working on right now. So, I mean, it's a lot of fun, though.
In the recent, obviously, you finished up out in Seattle a couple of years ago, and then last spring you played in what they call the Spring League, mm-hmm. right? You got hooked up with the team out west.
I did. It was just a lot of fun. You know, anytime you get an opportunity, you know, I felt like I could still play, so I wanted to go out there, and it was a way to try and showcase myself that I could still move around on the football field, and tried to take advantage of the opportunity. You know, went out there and played. Came back, got a phone call from the Vikings saying that they like what they saw and to stay ready. So I would advise anybody that has that opportunity to do something like this and that wants to, you know, continue their career, it's a great place for you to, you know, try and link up and get some more film on yourself put out there.
Vikings called you in last summer or early summer?
3 days after the game. You know,
really?
So,
wow,
yeah, so it was a lot of fun to do. And there are people there watching. There are scouts that are watching, and if you get that opportunity, definitely jump on it.
When you jumped out there, first time you got hit, was it like, woo, all right?
Man, it was like riding a bike. You know, it was one of those things where I always tell people we as football players got to be some of the craziest people anyway because we like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, we get out there and we battle for 3-4 hours on Sunday and say, okay, I'll see you again next week to do it. So. You know, it felt great, and, you know, I was excited to be out there, you know, getting those pads popping again.
What, are you prepared to say that your football playing days are behind you? Or?
I you know what? I'm not prepared to, but okay. I think, you know, I think it's obvious now, you know, that you know, you can't play as long as you want to, and you don't always get to go out on your terms. So that's part of it, and, you know, I just want everybody to know that when I do decide to hang them up, it's definitely going to be in a Bills jersey, so. As long as they'll have me, you know, come back and sign that one-day contract so I can leave as a Buffalo Bill, that's definitely what I want to get done.
I have a good feeling that they'll probably want to do that, actually. But your point on not always leaving on your own terms, this guy lived through that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And to my mind, most players never really have the ending to their career that they had hoped, right? Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Most guys, yeah.
It's sad. I mean, it's kind of sad.
It's very few. Even the ones that can go on to be Hall of Famers, you see them get cut or something like that. You know, it's tough to be an athlete because – a lot of the time, you don't get to leave on your own terms. And then the guys that do, people are like, you're leaving now?
Yeah.
Like Calvin Johnson and even Barry Sanders when he did it. Like, you're leaving now? Like, why are you leaving now? People get upset. But it's like, nah, I don't want to get cut. You know, I don't want for what you guys see out of me now in my peak, when I don't, when I'm not playing the same way, then everybody's like, oh, he sucks. You know, I don't want that to happen. Yeah. I want to walk away while I'm still playing good right now on my own terms.
Mm-hmm. Are you through that process, Frank?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Like I said, in chasing my daughters and my nieces around on the basketball court, you know, I was blessed to play for 10 years and still have my health
to be able to do that
and go out and chase them. So you look back on it, and you know, it's both a blessing and a curse to not be able to go out the way you want to. But if you can walk out of this game and, you know, still be able to move around and be healthy with your kids, I think that's the number one thing you got to be, you know, most appreciative of.
It must be hard, especially when you feel like I can still move around. You got out there on the field and you still were moving around. And then you look at a guy like Frank Gore, who's still, you know, still out there playing.
Yeah.
It must make it harder for
you. It does. You know, and Frank is playing well. And that's one of the things about it is you hear this age thing and what backs are supposed to do once they hit a certain age. And then you have – you know, outliers like Frank that are out there still, you know, going around and playing well. So whenever you feel like you can do it and you don't get that opportunity, it's definitely tough.
With Fred Jackson, 8 seasons in a Bills uniform, back in town this weekend to be the leader of the charge when the Bills take the field. A couple of phone calls for Fred. Matt in Hamburg. Go ahead, Matt. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, Fred. Welcome back. Just a couple of questions. Would you ever be interested in being an NFL coach, whether it's a head coach or a running back coach, or even as a commentator with ESPN or a network like that? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yep. I mean, definitely. You know, I think the coaching part of it is something that I will definitely try to get into, you know, as my kids get older. I think right now, you know, I want to be around with them for a little while and, you know, watch them grow up. Because, you know, coaches, they it's a grind for those guys. They work hard. They work, you know, harder than us as players. So, for me, it's definitely something that I'll look into in the future. Like I said, once my kids get older, commentating is something else that I do want to get into. You know, they have a media boot camp in the off season that I want to try and get in this year, and I want to get in and be a part of that and see if I can expand, you know, my talents, you know, in that aspect. I want to be able to, you know, be on the same level as these two sitting up here. So I definitely got to go put in some work for that. And commentating is definitely something I can see myself getting into.
Here's a call from George in Buffalo. Hello, George. Go ahead. You're on the air with us. George?
George, we talked about this.
Mike in Buffalo. Mike, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
I just wanted to say, Fred, you know, I wasn't really old enough through the Super Bowls, so me growing up, Fred, you were probably my favorite Buffalo Bill. I just loved your passion, the way you played. I was really upset when you weren't coming back, and I wish you never left. And I know you're up next for the roast, and I don't know how they're going to really roast. Ooh. I think you're an awesome dude, and good luck there, and go Bills.
The roast.
I appreciate that, Mike. You know, like I said, that's what you want to do is have guys that appreciate the way that you handled yourself on the field. Bro,
you want to have guys that want to be at your roast.
Donald looks like he's loaded with material.
I was going to say, you might have to be one of the guys to get up there and roast me because I think you're ready for that.
I think he's auditioning right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you need Marshawn. That's who you need. him and Marshawn were the closest. Yeah.
I'll see if I can talk him into it.
Fred Jackson is going to be roasted. The WGR 550 Sports Radio Celebrity Roast coming up next February 15th. Tickets on sale now. They're going to hold it at the Grapevine a Celebrity Roast hosted by Howard Simon, an all-star panel of roasters. Donald just looked like he's volunteering for that. You can get details at WGR550.com. Marshawn would be great at that, make an appearance back in Buffalo.
You
might need somebody to go up and explain
exactly
what he's
saying. You need Fitz.
Fitz, I'm working on. Fitz is one of the names that I'm working on. So,
that could be a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to try and get a good, pretty good. Well, one of the people, my brother's going to be on the panel, so he's got to have come back from stuff from a long time ago.
He has stuff nobody has.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, stuff nobody has. Speaking of Fitz and Marshawn, how are those guys doing? Is there still?
Oh, man, doing well. Fitz gave me a lot of grief about coming back to lead the charge last night. Told me he was proud of, you know him. That's my son. You know, I'm proud of you, son, for doing that. I'm like 4 years older than you. He's doing well. Love him playing in, you know, Oakland. And Fitz, you know, is Fitz. You know, enjoying life, knowing what he does, and chasing his kids around too.
Now, you are coming back because you are a leader of the charge. Did they get you a jersey, or did you bring one of your game jerseys?
I mean, they did get me one. I couldn't.
What's it say on the back of it?
It says Jackson. What is it supposed to say on it?
Supposed to say Freddie Tootie Jackson.
Hello? What?
That is your nickname. Stop trying to give it to me. Fitz's son, his oldest son, gave this young man Donald Tootie J was his name when he was around. So Donald keeps trying to call me Tootie J, but it's actually his nickname.
He really did, though. I don't know where he got to. Yeah.
Donald Tootie J.
I can see that. What's that going to be like for you leading the charge? Funny,
man. Oh, man, it's going to be great. It's awesome to be out there in front of, you know, all the fans, you know, excited about a game. It's going to be a great game, you know, a game that we – you know, as Bills need to win. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, and a lot of people are going to show up and be loud for it.
Be careful going up on the thing.
I've already told myself left, right.
Yeah, repeat. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They rushed my son and I up the they rushed us up there and weren't even ready, though. The team didn't even come out, right? So they're like, we need you now. And I'm climbing up. I'm trying to get my son up so he doesn't fall, and I'm trying not to fall. Fans watching. It has just been all bad. But then we got up there, we're just standing there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, when am I supposed to wave the flag now? Yeah.
You should have just start waving it for no reason.
I did. Just start waving it. Like, all right.
Let's call for you, Fred, from Lois.
Oh, and all that, but I've never seen as much snow as they have. So.
Lois, are you there? Are you talking to us? Lois in Springville, are you there?
Yeah. No, I've never, you know, well, right after the stadium opened, we got our season tickets.
All right, we got to move on, Lois, because you're not paying attention to the radio. I'm sorry. Bill was on the line with us. Bill, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, guys, thanks a lot. Fred, welcome back. Love you. I got to tell a quick story. I picked a small trailer up several years ago at Buffalo RV on a February day, and when I got in there, it said two people picking up today, Mr. Hoke and Mr. Jackson. And I don't know, Fred. I didn't know it was Fred. They got this beautiful Class A motorhome parked next to this tiny little starter travel trailer, and it was Fred Jackson picking up a motorhome. And he was gracious enough to say, yeah, you can get on, look at mine, you know, and his wife and kids, so nice, so friendly. Fred, love you, man, and love you in the football games every time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, we still have that motorhome now. Trying to do as much traveling as possible. But like I said, with all these kids getting into everything, it's hard to do as much traveling as we'd like to do.
Did you drive here on the motorhome?
We didn't.
It is. But, you know, we always said, ready, Freddie Jackson. When nobody else was ready to play, you were. You always carried the day. You got the first down if you had to get it. You did it with extra effort. You did it by yourself if you had to. I mean, that is what, you know, a Buffalo Bill, no matter what, winning, losing, no matter what, you got on the field, we had hope.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for your call. Hey, deep down, do you wish you would have been here last week for that spectacle?
I do. I missed that, I man. I was watching, and I was a little bit jealous when I seen players making snow angels and all that. I was very resentful that I wasn't out there playing.
Sure,
but no, it looked like a lot of fun, you know, and it was great that they were able to pull that win out. I mean, that makes it a lot easier to play in the snow.
You know, we talk about this all the time. When you are not from Buffalo and you come and you get signed to play with Buffalo, the first thing you think about is snow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's rare that you get to play in a game like they played in, right? So the fact that they actually got a chance to play in something like that and you don't get that chance, it's like, man, like how fun would that be, you know, to be down there on the field, to win the game, number one, to be, you know, be with the fans celebrating, everybody's throwing snowballs all over the place, the guys are making snow angels. I mean, that's something that most players don't get to really experience, even the players that have played here. Because it's rare that you're going to get a game like that.
I actually played in a game like that. I played in two games like that. I played in a game like that against
the Colts.
The Colts, yeah. And I think they're probably just like, we're never going back to Buffalo.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're not playing. And in a game in Cleveland was just like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, that's why that was the first thing I went back to was playing in those games. There you go right there. Yeah, and I mean, I loved it. I loved every minute of it. Getting tackled, falling in the snow, getting up and having to dust yourself off. Mm-hmm. It was just a lot of fun to me.
Fred, I was like, this is the Dolphins. Did you have anything going with the Dolphins? Did you have any sort of grudge or anything when you played for the Bills? Was that an opponent you'd like to play against?
I mean, the Dolphins are a team that talked the most in out of all the teams you played against or that I played when I was playing. So it was a lot of fun to play against them. You know, they were going to show up. I love playing them in Buffalo because, I mean, it's a lot different than playing them down in Miami. they get off the plane in Buffalo, and they're walking into a new environment. So that was a lot of fun.
We played them in Miami. Fred actually rolled up on my ankle. He's the reason why receivers don't want to block, you know, because they sometimes run up your backside and, you know.
I did it twice.
He did it twice.
Once on purpose.
Once was on purpose.
Fred, we asked what you were up to lately. I know recently you and your brother, your twin brother, Patrick, were inducted into the Cole College Athletic Hall of Fame. That's a pretty good honor, and I'm sure it felt even better having your brother alongside you.
That was the best part about it, was going in. You know, we started our football careers together, you know, and to end that one at Cole by going in the Hall of Fame together was just the icing on the cake. You know, look.
Which one are you?
Yes.
I'm number five.
That was me, number five. Right. Yeah, so it was awesome. You know, when we got that phone call that he was going in, I was actually, you know, inducted, or I was a first-round ballot, but I couldn't go in when I was playing because I had to be there, and it was always during the season.
Yeah.
So when I got the phone call that he had just been, you know, selected to go in the Hall of Fame, you know, I told him I would do whatever I could so that we can go in together. And, you know, we made that happen. And like I said, to be able to go in at the same time with him, I think it was just a great way to end our, you know, athletic careers at Cole.
Is that something you guys talked about when you were young? I mean, I'm sure you always talked about, man, we're going to play in the league and all that stuff. But, you know, you never probably talked about
going to the Cole College
Hall of Fame. Even just our college Hall of Fame, not Cole College, but at least our college Hall of Fame.
It was something. yes, we talked every night about going to the Cole College.
Cole College Hall of Fame when we were little.
Yeah,
but at least your college, even if it wasn't Cole College.
I mean, it was. Once we got to Cole, and we had heard of all the things that Twins, Rhonda and Tiki, were kind of motivation for us. You know, they were like first Twins to be in. Put in a all conference and stuff like that, and we said, you know what, we're gonna do that too. So, for us to both go in the Hall of Fame was something that we wanted to do.
One more call for Fred Jackson. Anthony calling from Wilson, New York. Go ahead, Anthony. You're on the air with us.
Hi, gentlemen. How you doing? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling from Memphis.
Memphis. That's not Wilson.
All right. Cool.
You're right, gentlemen. I just want to say, Mr. Murphy, Mr. Jones, I'm in Memphis, and the only thing I can do is keep up with you guys because you keep me full up with Buffalo Bills football, because I can't get anything down here, Buffalo, anything.
Great.
But Mr. Jackson, I watched your career in the Buffalo Bills, and I tell you right now, man, my three favorite running backs, O.J. Simpson, Thurman Thompson, on the top of that list is you, Mr. Jackson. My favorite play was the Chicago game, and I always, when you touch the ball, my thing is to say, make a play, Freddie Jackson, because that's all you used to say. I had to make a play. I had to make a play. You made so many plays for me. I will never ever forget you, Mr. Jackson. You're inspiration to a lot of people coming from Cole College and coming into the NFL and doing what you've done. I appreciate everything you've done, and I had some great times with you. Great times. And I just want to let you know that, sir. Thank you very much for letting me speak to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, that's just it. You know, you want to make those plays, and for not only for your teammates, you know, there's a lot of people that support us around the world, you know. So whenever you get that ball in your hands, you want to make a play. So those guys, you know, have something to cheer about, and I was able to make a few of those in my career. So I agree. I appreciate hearing that from you.
That overtime run against the Bears opening day, that was up until this past Sunday, the last time the Bills won a game in overtime. You kind of set that victory up at Chicago.
Yeah, and I like it. You know, we were able to finish one this last week too, so that's awesome.
Fred Jackson will be the leader of the charge, and he's also getting set for February, the Celebrity Roast, the WGR Celebrity Roast of Fred Jackson. Jackson, tickets on sale now at WGR550.com. Fred, as you can tell, the phones light up. People go crazy when you come back. You know that, right? You know that you're one of the favorites.
I do, you know, and it's one of the reasons that I'm back in Buffalo so much. You know, this, like I said, will always be home to me. You know, we get back, you know, anytime that we can, we're back in Buffalo. And, you know, I want to give back to the fans what they gave to me. So I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Fred. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Fred Jackson, leader of the charge Sunday when the Bills take the field to play the Miami Dolphins. Donald and I back with more. Tootie J, is that what I call you now?
Yes.
Donald
Lord.
Tootie J?
Donald Tootie J.
Tootie J. When we return.
For the fans on Twitter and everything.
The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones, motoring our way through a Friday where it always gets busy, and we got the guests backed up, and we got Lorenzo Alexander standing by. He's coming up next. And we do have to let you know about the injury report, which is just out today. Nathan Peterman has been ruled out of Sunday's game with his concussion. The Bills were said earlier today he was not out of concussion protocol yet, and now he has been ruled out of the game as he does not come out of concussion protocol in time to play. So Nathan Peterman out of Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins. Peterman did get in a full practice today, but still in concussion protocol. Cordy Glenn goes to injured reserve. He's not playing. John Miller is out with his ankle injury. Kelvin Benjamin is questionable, and Benjamin got in limited practice today. So three players out, Cordy Glenn, IR, John Miller, Nathan Peterman. Kelvin Benjamin is questionable. As far as the practice report, LeSean McCoy did not practice today, a rest day for him. And full practice for Charles Clay, Chantrell Henderson, Andre Holmes, Leonard Johnson, Nathan Peterman, Tyrod Taylor, and Kyle Williams. So Kelvin Benjamin, questionable. That's someone to watch as the weekend moves along. And I would also think that the fact that – let me go back to that. Now I just had it here. The fact that Leonard Johnson, that's what I was looking for, Leonard Johnson, full practice today and not on the injury list. We talked about this. He's one of the underrated guys who is a difference maker in that Buffalo secondary.
Yeah, he is a underrated guy and a difference maker in that secondary. And, you know, to be honest with you, as we talked to Greg Cosell, and he talked about the Bills actually having, you know, nickel. They don't typically go dime, and you're going against a Dolphins team that can put four wide receivers on the field. Leonard Johnson is going to be important in that, you know. So it's a good thing that, you know, it's everything is good with him.
Yeah.
The one thing is that's interesting to me, and this is flipping over to the offensive side of the ball with Nate Peterman being out. So now that means Joe Webb is your backup quarterback.
Right.
But he was playing receiver this week in practice, you know. So that's an interesting thing that you got to pay attention to.
All right. It's always complicated.
Yeah.
This time of year, right, the injury reports always get a little bit messy. When we come back, Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown talking about this weekend's game. You're welcome to join us as well at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network Sports Update.
Bills and Dolphins coming up Sunday here in Orchard Park. The Bills wrapped up their practice inside the Ed-Pro Sports Training Center about an hour ago. Tyrod Taylor, good to go. He will start Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Nathan Peterman, though, still in concussion protocol, and he has been ruled out of the game. Joe Webb would be the number two quarterback on the roster going into Sunday's game. Also, the Bills put left tackle Cordy Glenn on injured reserve today. Struggled with his foot and ankle injuries the last few weeks. He'll go for a procedure on his foot and ankle, and head coach Sean McDermott says they are hoping that Glenn is ready for the offseason program in the spring. One other interesting note on the injury list, wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin listed as questionable, got in limited work today. He's got the knee injury from a couple of weeks ago that he aggravated last week. Sean McDermott says he feels good about Benjamin's chances to play on Sunday, but he is questionable. Bills, Dolphins, 1 o'clock Sunday. You can hear the game right here on their flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, starting at 1 with network pregame coverage at 11 a.m. Arizona Cardinals are putting running back Adrian Peterson on injured reserve because of his neck injury. He missed 11 games last season with a torn meniscus, and he's missed time this year with injuries as well. Denver Broncos quarterback Trevor Siemian left last night's game against Indy with a left shoulder injury, an MRI scheduled today. Siemian and the Broncos beat Indianapolis 25-13. Brock Osweiler replaced him in the lineup and was able to lead them to victory. Steelers linebacker Ryan Shazier remains in a hospital in Pittsburgh as he recovers from last week's spinal stabilization surgery. Strapped to a board, carted off the field a couple of weeks ago when he took a hit in a matchup with the Bengals. The Steelers put Shazier on injured reserve earlier this week. And the Buffalo Sabres host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at KeyBank Center, the second of three games between these two this season. Carolina won the first matchup in Buffalo back in mid-November by a score of 3-1. Sam Reinhart getting set to play his 200th career NHL game. Buffalo's four-game point streak was snapped on the road against Philadelphia last night with a 2-1 loss. They'll face off tonight, 7 o'clock, against Carolina downtown. That is the update from One Bills Drive, the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts. John Murphy, Donald Jones, joined in studio for his regular Friday appearance with us. Ready for the lowdown to let us know about the Bills and the matchup with the Miami Dolphins. Great to have Lorenzo Alexander back in studio with us. Lorenzo, thank you for coming by.
Oh, yeah, always. Lowdown. What's going on with you guys?
I was watching the game last night, and, you know, their tight end, the Colts tight end, on a stretcher. And so going back to Ryan Shazier last week on a stretcher, you get to the point, because I watch the games now, and I'm like, I was crazy playing that game. Are you at that point
yet? I'm still in it.
You're still in it.
Yeah. So. But I'm towards the end of it. So, I mean, I think my wife worries about it more than I do, and my mom. But, I mean, while you're in it, you can't allow that to creep in your mind.
I wonder how many years until. I think it took me like one. Like the next year I watched the game and was like,
right. It don't take long.
That was crazy.
Right, it don't take long. I mean, the year I sat out when I came back, I mean, I could just tell how fast the game was, just kind of being away from it for you know, that 13 games that I missed. So, I mean, it's a brutal game. It's physical. And my body hadn't even adjusted, so my body went into shock after missing those games. And I was like the sorest I ever was, and that was like the first time I thought about retiring.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. You're a professional. You get paid to play. But have you ever, this deep into your career, Lorenzo, sat back and thought, what is it about this game that attracts me? What do I like about this?
I mean, I like the physicality of it. I mean, being able to destroy another man, you know, lock up, beat him one-on-one. And then go find a ball carrier. I mean, I enjoy that. You know, I grew up playing baseball. It's probably my best sport, but it was just too boring. There was no contact. I couldn't hit nobody.
That's crazy.
And
I knew you was my son.
What's that?
I was the same way, though. I grew up, I was good at baseball, but I love the reaction I got from other people when I scored touchdowns, but, you know.
Yeah, the big hits, it's nothing like it. I mean, it's just different. I mean, it's different than any other game.
Do you get instant gratification when you make a big hit, or does it come, you know, later that night or in the video?
Oh, no, it's instant. It's instant. Especially when you run through somebody and you don't feel it. Those are the best ones.
See, I think it would also, because for me as a receiver, when I got hit, you hear the crowd go, ooh. Yeah. You know, on the defense, those guys are probably like, yeah. When they hear the crowd go, ooh, yeah bro. Yeah.
It make you feel a certain type of way. I mean, it could turn the energy around for your team as well. So, I mean, I just love being able to go out there and just physically compete with somebody else and say that I'm better than you in all aspects.
Love it as much as you always have, more than you always have?
I mean, I think it's changed over the years. I think, obviously, I mean, you feel it more after the effect, you know. So I've changed the way I play. When I was a young player in this league, especially on special teams, you would throw your body around a little bit more. You would be less you'd be more willing to run into a wedge. Hmm. Now I'm thinking about, okay, how can I get around the wedge without actually running through these dudes, because I just know the effects. And you see it with young players. When I play them, I say, he'll slow down in a couple of years. And then I go talk to him. So I try to find a different way. And it just is what it is, because your body eventually breaks down. You feel the effects on it, you know, Monday, Tuesday when you're getting up. And so you try to be smarter about the way you can play. But if it comes to it and it's me and him, I'm going to run through him.
Wedge busting.
Yeah, I mean if I have to, I have to. But if I don't, I don't.
Crazy job. The wedge buster. I was a two on kickoff. The dude that was a wedge buster, like I sometimes we're running down together and I just hear it boom and I'm like, ooh. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, and it's even different than what it used to be. I mean, it used to be a four-man wedge and used to have big offensive linemen, 6'5", 330, and you trying to, you know, bust through that. Yeah. So it's changed, but it's still pretty aggressive out there.
Lorenzo, we know what you go through to get yourself ready to play. We talk about it on your segments here on the show about all the stretching, all the different workouts you go through. Did you start your career 11 years ago doing that? Or when did you learn that I need to do this to get ready to play?
I mean, I think just learning from trial and error and over times and being around guys like a London Fletcher, Larry Fitzgerald, guys that really knew how to take care of their bodies. Just seeing what they did and, you know, an injury come up, I'd be like, oh, maybe I could have done this and I wouldn't have got hurt. So I kind of added things as different injuries or different situations popped up throughout my career, as well as watching other guys trying to be proactive about the whole situation as well.
And have you had moments in recent years where you feel like on the field you've avoided injury because of some part of your regimen, part of what you did?
Most definitely. I mean, I think the Pilates and the stretching definitely helps. I mean, for example, this year, I'm in year 13 now, and I haven't had anything outside of, you know, normal scrapes and bruises that can, you know, prevent you from playing. Where years pass, you know, I have a hammy here or, you know, ankle, something that just pops up. But I know the work that I'm doing in the weight room and all the stretching and flexibility and the mobility work and the ice and cold tubs, eating right, I know all that is allowing me to still be relatively healthy in year 13, week 15 of the season.
How long did it take you? I mean, you have a very structured week in terms of I get this on this day, this on this day. How long did it take you to get that structure going where it was like, okay, maybe if I get massaged on this day, it'll work out better for me on Sunday?
I mean, it took a while. I mean, maybe year 4 or 5 in the league, I started getting massaged. Because, you know, when you first get in the league out of college, you're like, man, 154 massage? I can't do
that.
That's
when you're undrafted.
Yeah. man, I can't. I'm just getting a hot, you know, hot cold tub, do some of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe go on the foam roller.
Yeah, for
so maybe year 4 or 5, I started, you know, actually investing and not feeling bad about spending $150 on myself. And then throughout my career, I've added things, whether it's Pilates or getting a second massage or adding the stretching, and then just trying to tweak things to figure out, you know, what's going to allow me to feel the best on Sunday morning when I wake up so I can go out there and play fast.
And I have one more question on this topic. Does your regimen change as the long season goes along, week 15 this week? Do you find yourself doing more, doing less?
No, it doesn't really change as far as what I do. The hardest thing for me to stay real on top of is eating. I mean, because obviously the later in the year, it gets colder. You're kind of banged up. You've been doing it since February, eating pretty stringent as far as not eating all the stuff that people tend to like to eat to make themselves feel good. You got the holiday season.
Yeah.
So it's just hard. And then Christmas parties. I mean, all that stuff is like, man, it's in your face. So, you know, I kind of go off my diet a little bit towards the end of the year. And, you know, I'll take it. I need to, you know, put that extra coat on, stay a little bit warmer with this, you know, 20-degree weather outside.
The later I got into the season, when it got cold outside, the one thing that I did not do, and I just could not bring myself to do it, is something that you have to do. Obviously, you need to stay hydrated. I did not drink water once we got into the winter like that. I just – I'm like, it's cold out. Yeah, don't give me cold water. I don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, it was
I gave our trainer – one of our trainers a hard time during the game. I don't know if you guys had a chance to listen to, like, the Mic'd Up, but he came over and had, like, Gatorade. I'm like, I don't want nothing cold right now, man. It's snowing, and it's about 12 degrees. I bring me some hot chocolate or some broth or something. I'll drink that.
On the sideline was a chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
Give
me that.
Hey, one thing about last week's game, we talk about the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee that you are for the Bills, but they had that logo on your jersey, right, and a decal on the helmet.
Right.
And because of the conditions, I don't think anybody ever got a look at it last week.
No, I couldn't see it at all. I mean, talking to some of the guys that said they were following me around, Derek Boker was saying that they couldn't even find me for most of the game.
Yeah.
They had pointed at the wrong camera or at the wrong guy. So it was just crazy. I mean, the weather affected a lot of things out there.
Nothing guys, like that ever before.
Nothing close to it outside of playing Madden and snowing on TV.
It ain't even that bad on Madden. When you today you guys practiced inside and it felt like you were in the stadium.
Yes. Yes, we did.
I mean, that says it all. That
well,
reaction
I mean, that's
right
just
there.
Another, you know, Jedi mind trick our coaches and coaches in general, you know, like to use. And I understand it and get it. You know, trying to make it feel like you're outside. But I'm going to be cold on Sunday as well. You know, it is what it is. You know, I understand why they're doing it, and I just take it and, you know, kind of keep it to myself because I don't want to mess anybody else's mind up about it.
I was like, man, I mean, they just played in one of the worst games conditions-wise you could ever play in. I mean, we're prepared for anything now.
Yeah, right.
You might as well crank the heat up.
Yeah,
let us be
comfortable.
Warm. Yeah, exactly.
You know, especially in my old age, I just get grumpy about a lot of stuff. It just is what it is. You know, you go out there and end up nicking somebody. Because my hands were cold. And, you know, your hands at this time of year are sore. You hit somebody's helmet or something. It just hurts more. Like, why? I just want to be fresh. It's Fast Friday, baby.
Right.
Do it early in the week if we're going to do it.
Hey, one more question. And this deals with the weather. But more it deals – I mean, it's your last home game this year coming up, right?
Yeah.
So Coach McDermott's made a big deal out of defend our dirt and let's win at home, and now you're 5-2. You could be 6-2.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier the team hasn't finished 6-2 at home since the last time they were in the playoffs, 1999.
Right.
How much of last week do you think goes towards building an identity of this is our home, we can play in these conditions, we can win when the weather is extreme the way it was?
I mean, it's huge. We had this whole mantra, and I forgot the podcasting guy, but he was like a former Navy SEAL, and his whole concept is good. You know, it's snowing outside. Good. You know, our stadium is old. Oh, man. Good. Yeah. You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, it's 30 degrees outside. Good.
Who says that? Who?
It's a Navy SEAL, former Navy SEAL, and he has like a podcast, and
okay.
and a lot of the guys listen to him on a consistent basis, and Sean actually played one of the podcasts, and his concept around everything is good, no matter, you know, if something bad's going on, good. Okay, what can I do to fix it? Mm-hmm. You know, it's another way that's going to make me better or bring us together as a team. So that's how we look at it when we're in our stadium and in these conditions. And that's the whole thing. When people come in here, we want them to be, oh, man, it's snowing outside. It's cold. Man, yeah. The stadium is kind of old. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's Buffalo. And for us, it's good. Now we're about to, you know, put that butt whooping on you.
I don't imagine the Dolphins will think that, right, Sunday when they walk out there and it's cold and maybe a little rainy, snowy.
I doubt they'll think it's good.
This is good.
You know, but last year it was pretty cold and they whooped our butt. Right. So we still have to come out and play a physical game. I think the only time the weather really comes in true play for a team is when you're out there competing at a high level and they get down a little bit. But if they, you know, whooping your butt and scoring touchdowns and getting you off the field, I mean, they out there swagging. They warm, you know, because mm-hmm. they confident and playing well. The weather really only has its effect is when you're out there as a defense or your team and you're dominating the game and then they have to deal with the weather. They kind of just end up taking, I think, throughout a four-quarter game.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lorenzo Alexander in studio with us for the lowdown, his keys to the Buffalo Bills victory. And it sounds like that last game last year, the Christmas Eve game, when the Dolphins, you called it a butt-whooping, sounds like that's fresh in your memory, your first lowdown.
Yeah.
Talks about winning a physical battle against their defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you think about Cameron Wake, you think about Ndamukong Suh. Both those guys are, you know, all Pro Bowl caliber players and can wreck a game for you. And I know our strength of our game offensively is being able to run the ball and getting Shady going early because that opens up so many other things. You can't, you know, it just opens up our pass, I mean, our play-action stuff, you know, taking shots down the field. And if we can dominate them up front, because that's the strength of their team, we can really start being ahead of the chains, getting to some third and manageables, and staying on the field and be able to just tire them out.
Is that doable against that good defensive front?
Yeah.
I mean, Sue is, and Donald called him a beast. He's almost an immovable object up there sometimes.
He is, but that's why offensive lines work together. We have some great offensive linemen, Richie Incognito, Eric Wood. Deion Dawkins has done a great job this year as well as a rookie. So those guys working together, getting the run game going, obviously Shady, Mike T, TC, Cadet as well, having that three-headed monster ship, you know, throwing a lot of different looks at them. You can tire some guys out and guys working together on some double teams, getting up to the second level. We can be fine as far as being able to establish a run against those guys.
You know, this is a little bit off of what we're talking about right now, but you started talking about Deion and how good he's playing. When you have these young rookies that are playing well.
Right.
What do you say to them to keep them motivated and wanting to be better? You know, you have a Deion or a Tre'Davious, guys like that. I know they're good kids.
Yeah.
But what do you say to them to keep them going upward?
You say that and you kind of answer your question. They're good kids, so they understand that they need to continually get better. They're not, they're self-motivated. But as a veteran, you're just always making sure that they understand. You're just working on the little things. Don't get frustrated because, you know, when we talk about Tre'Davious, he can be – on the real negative side about how he played as well. But just staying positive, continue to work on those things that you feel like you need to. And each and every week, just continue to work on the little small things and take a step forward. And with our offensive line, they do a great job. They're out there pre-practice, after practice, working on drills, hand drills, all the little details and fundamentals of the game. Juan Castillo does a great job of getting those guys ready fundamentally so they can go out there and play physical. And I think that's why Deion has done such a great job. And as the season's went on, he's gotten more comfortable, more confident.
The lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, part one, deals with the physical battle with the Dolphins' defensive line. Part two deals with punt and kickoff return. What do you see there, Lorenzo?
Yeah, for us, I mean, Miami and their coordinator has a great history of just giving you a whole bunch of different looks that can sometimes slow you down. As far as on punt, they play a lot of eight-man in the box trying to rush us, but they won't just line up and put eight men in the box. They'll start out with two guys vicing on the outside versus our gunners. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they'll bring all four of those guys in, so it's a 10-man box, and then drop two of them out. So as a personal protector, that's the guy standing in between the front line and the punter. He has to make the call. So just making sure he's patient, getting out the calls to us, letting us know which way the center is going, who our help is. is going to be key as far as being able to protect and then allowing our gunners. Andre has been doing a great job this year controlling the game on the outside as well as Shamarco as well. So we just want to continue to be able to do that so we don't give up any blocks or anything of that nature as well. And then on kickoff coverage, they line up 5x5 a lot of times, but sometimes they'll change their safeties, who their safeties are. Most of the time when you have an original alignment, the safeties are both people on the ends of the kickoff 5x5. Sometimes they put those guys at the twos or the threes and just kind of hide them. So you'll have guys running free because you miscount. They also bunch them up and then squeeze and come out, and they like to just hide guys. So on the back end and the front end, just be able to communicate, okay, this is my guy, this is who I have, this is the return we're running. So we're all on the same page so you don't have – you know, the offense starting at, you know, inside the 20 because there's been a miscommunication on who we're blocking on the kickoff coverage.
All right. And finally, in the lowdown, Jay Cutler, he's, you know, he was great Monday night. But he hasn't always been great. And
no,
there might be
Jay, I mean, obviously gets a bad rep because he throws a lot of interceptions. That's probably one of his biggest downfalls. But skill set wise, I mean, he has it all. For a minute there, he's one of the hottest things on the market. Obviously, he has some things going on in Chicago, but he can throw the ball, has great pocket awareness. Gets the ball out quick with his has a strong arm, can make all the throws, and you know sometimes he just gives you a lot of opportunities throwing picks. So when he throws us one, or it's a tip or overthrow because it's, you know, his receiver can't get to it, we have to take advantage of that defensively and catch the ball and ultimately try to score with it.
And they got some playmakers out there.
Kenny Stills, Landry. Drake, the running back, young running back 32, has really been coming on strong since they've gotten they traded Ajay away. And it made sense once I seen him watching film on him because he's been hitting some home runs. So it always starts. To be able to take advantage of Jay Cutler, we got to win on first, second down versus the run game and putting him in some third and long situations.
Lorenzo, last week when you were here, you had a beef with Donald about a cap that he was supposed to provide. But
since he didn't get it, you know, I went to some of my other good – I had some good friends in throughout this organization. My guy Ryan, who works over at the – does the Bill store, kind of manages that and does a lot of great things. He actually provided me a hat, two hats, actually. He gave me –
So, I mean, you brought one for me.
No, I didn't – not getting you nothing. The Niagara Falls hat. And then he actually gave me another one of the Buffalo Wings hat. I didn't even ask for that. He just gave it to me.
Oh.
You
so
know
that
what
means
I mean?
He had two Wings hats.
Yeah, I'm going to give that to my mom, though. She liked it. So, you know, so that's what people take care of. You know, I didn't even ask him. In some way, he probably heard the show. Said, I'm going to take care of my guy, Lorenzo. He gave me two hats, not just one, but two. Huh. So that's just how – this shows you how your real friends, how they treat you and take care of you.
What about this week's hat?
I haven't seen
this week's hat.
It's pretty cool.
What is it?
It's like a snow hat. It's almost like a whiteout
hat.
I
got kids. That's going to get dirty. Yeah, that's too white. That's too clean. That's an all-white party summer hat or something. It's the middle of the winter right now.
Okay. So, Donald, you don't have to get him the all-white snow hat.
No, you're good on that. He wasn't going to get it anyway. You know, I don't even have Ryan.
I don't have my Wings hat anymore. I don't have the Niagara Falls hat.
Are you
begging? I don't have this hat. I'm not begging. I'm just saying I gave you a Wings hat. You went and got another one. So
I didn't go get another one. My good friend took care of me.
The only thing that, you know.
I'll hook you up. You want it?
Just hook me
up.
Okay,
I'll let my mom know that I gave it to you.
Thank you.
Glad we were able to sort that out. Thanks, Lorenzo. Stay healthy.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for stirring the pot. We're back with more in a moment. Donald and I, the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Reed's Gens brings you the diamond in the rough. This week, it's defensive end Ryan Davis. He was signed by the Jaguars as an undrafted free agent in 2012. After a one-year stint in Dallas, Davis signed on with the Bills this past offseason. When the Bills put Shaq Lawson on injured reserve, Ryan Davis had to step into the lineup. Playing last week against the Colts, Davis got three tackles and one sack. So far this season, Davis has 19 tackles, two sacks, and one forced fumble. Ryan Davis, this week's Diamond in the Rough, presented by Reed's Gens, the official jeweler of the Buffalo Bills. Welcome back to the show, John Murphy and Donald Jones. Our Twitter poll is up and a few minutes left in that. If you'd like to weigh in on that, 803-0550, the number to call, or toll free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. On Twitter, we're asking the question, what's the key to the Buffalo Bills to coming out of here with a victory against the Dolphins? Pretty close. 36% of you say making Jay Cutler uncomfortable. 31% of you say LeSean McCoy leading the offense. 31% of you saying Tyrod Taylor getting the ball downfield. 3% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let's discuss. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. This week's Bills-Dolphins game, the game sponsor is Zippo, maker of the 6-hour rechargeable hand warmers. Drop the gloves and fight the cold with Zippo hand warmers. I've never tried those, Donald. Have you? Maybe it would lessen your discomfort with the weather.
Yeah, you know, if I could just have a hand warmer, especially since I'll be at the game, you know, it's my birthday. Maybe I could actually get something.
Shameless.
Shameless plug.
Hey, Paul, there's an interesting tweet, and we were happy to have Lorenzo Alexander in here a moment ago. Paul Reed tweets in, sometimes while watching the John Murphy Show on Fridays, I really have a hard time deciding if Donald Jones and Lorenzo Alexander truly hate each other or if they're just messing around. That's what we're going for, is that sort of indecision. We want you to think that there's real tension there.
Yeah,
I love that people don't know. I love the fact that he thinks that there might really be tension there. Maybe there
really
is.
It's really like a big brother, little brother type of relationship.
And which one are you then?
I'm a little brother. I'll take that. You know, I don't want to be old like Lorenzo yet.
Even though he's still out there playing.
Even though he's still out there playing, you know, it's all good. It's all good. But, no, we just had that relationship. We can joke and joke to that point. I don't know. If we were truly around each other a lot, we probably would have every now and then where it was like, dude, you better get out of my face or something like that. Like that.
Well,
you probably had that, you know, or have that with your brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to push it to just shy of that point. We won't probably get Lorenzo, what, 2 more weeks here?
2 more weeks here.
How close we can get to that line with you and Lorenzo.
But you see, I had that with Fred too.
Yeah.
You know, the difference was I was in the locker room with Fred, and Fred would do stuff to me.
Yeah.
You know, just throwing stuff at me, hit me in the back of the head. Just
calling you 2DJ.
Yeah, I mean, he was that type of guy where he just did not stop. You know, Fred, please stop. Stop. Dude.
Stop. Chan, Fred's bothering me.
That's how you want to do it. Like, Coach, Chan, can you come and get Fred, please?
Fred's bothering me.
Freddie 2DJ won't stop.
Hey, Chris Brown had a chance to have a sip of coffee and talk with head coach Sean McDermott. It is Coffee with a Coach, our weekly presentation of Coffee with a Coach, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons. I'm Chris Brown, along with Bills head coach Sean McDermott, as the Bills get set for a big divisional matchup with the Miami Dolphins at New Era Field on Sunday. Coach, as always, thanks for being with us. I know this league can be cruel sometimes with the way the ball bounces, and in a snow game like last week, you didn't know where it was going to go sometimes, but how does it make you feel to see your team rewarded the way they were for sticking it out to the end?
Well, it makes me extremely proud to be a part of this football team. I know I'm the head coach, but just to be in the locker room with the men that we have and experience that type of situation, that type of environment created by our fan base, and just a really neat experience for us as a team.
Matt Milano is a player, had 11 tackles in the game last week, a player that's really coming on here second half of the season, contributing more, taking on more responsibility. Was this kind of what you envisioned from your draft class as a whole as the season wore on?
Well, you want to see young players play as we continue to build and head towards the vision for our football team and unfold the plan. You know, not sure every year how many players, young players, are going to play. In this case, all of our young players have played a significant amount, whether it's been offense, defense, or special teams. You saw Nate play as well, and Deion Dawkins, who's a full-time starter for us now. Zay Jones, same thing. Tre'Davious White, Nate, like I mentioned, and then Tanner Vallejo's out there on special teams and doing a good job. So it bodes well for the future of the organization.
Taking a look at your opponent this week, the Dolphins, a team that's had their share of ups and downs, especially of late. They win 3 in a row and then lose 5 in a row. How hard is it to get a handle on a team like that?
Well, they're a good football team, and as you've heard me say before, Chris, it's week to week in the NFL.
Right.
The parity around this league is incredible. It's what the NFL wants, and it keeps people on the edges of their seats this time of year in particular. So what we have to focus on is ourselves and continuing to grow, continuing to build and develop this football team. And And as you mentioned, the young players, I think that's critical for our success moving forward.
All right, Coach, appreciate the insight. Now it's time for our fan question of the week, where you, the fan, get to ask Coach a question. We go out to our own Lauren Hall for this week's fan question.
Hey, Chris, we're at New Era Field. It's game day. We're with Brandon right now, and Brandon has a question for Coach.
Hello, Coach. I was just wondering how your younger kids like the cold weather up here in Buffalo, New York.
All right, Coach, they got some exposure to it this week. What have they thought so far?
Well, it's an incredible environment, I should say. Just being around here in a foot of snow, and I thought we were getting a foot, then it added a couple inches each night, and then a few the day of the game. So interesting experience all at once for us. It was my kids' first real snowfall. They went sledding, which is fun to watch, and they've had a snowball fight, and even me driving in this is a little bit of a new experience. So all unique to this area, but we're better because of it.
Always turn into the turn, Coach. Into the
That's
turn when
is.
You feel yourself fish tail
okay.
in there. All right, Coach, thanks for the time as always.
Thanks,
Good
Chris.
Luck getting a big division win this week.
Appreciate it.
All right, that's Bills head coach Sean McDermott. This has been Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.
Winter driving tips and Coffee with the Coach, presented by Tim Hortons Cafe and Bake Shop, the official coffee of the Buffalo Bills.
Winter driving tips.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, a couple of things, Donald. This just came up. Mo Wilkerson, Jets, very talented defensive lineman. Did you see this? He's been told he's going to stay home. He's not going to make the trip to go to New Orleans with the he will not play. I don't even know if that game in New York or New Orleans. Todd Bowles announced today that he will not play Mo Wilkerson against the Saints on Sunday. He's been late to mandatory team functions, late for a Friday meeting today, and Bowles took action second time in as many weeks. Last week, Mo Wilkerson was benched for most of the first quarter. He's been disciplined four times in three seasons by Todd Bowles, and I don't know.
Come on,
very
Mo.
Talented player. Really? Come on, Mo.
Man. What are you doing? You're not representing Jersey the right way here. I need you to get it together a little bit.
What's he doing? Is he begging to be released in the offseason or what?
He might be. You know, I mean, who does things like that? You know, this is the issue you get, honestly, when you pay guys that type of money. You know, he got a big contract like Marcell Dareus. And when you pay a guy that type of money, he's home. He's from New Jersey. He's home in his home, you know, home state. There's a lot of things that could go wrong right there. You know, I remember talking to Victor Cruz about being home, and he was like, man, it's great playing for the Giants and all of that stuff, but, man, it's some downfalls to this thing, you know, starting with tickets, starting with just being home, wanting to be with my friends and family and all of that stuff. Sometimes I find myself I might not go work out on a certain day because I'm with my, you know, my friends or family or something like that. So he probably needs to get out of New York, New Jersey, Mo Wilkerson, and be somewhere else where he can just focus on football, because right now it's obvious that he's not focused on what he should be focused on. It's not that hard to be to meetings on time. You know, it's not even like it's here where it's snowing and it's, you know, he's not somewhere where it's crazy traffic. There's no excuse. All right. You're getting paid a lot of money. Be there on time and do your job. That's all they're asking of you.
It's tough to see that. This came across, you found this actually, our buddy Tyler Dunn, Western New York native who writes for Bleacher Report, wrote a very extensive piece on Sammy Watkins, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver, former Bills first-round pick, just traded away last August to the Los Angeles Rams. The headline from Tyler Dunn, Sammy Watkins dropped the diva attitude and got his career back on track in L.A. Fascinating stuff in here, a lot of it dealing with Watkins' time in Buffalo, and that includes his famous you know, I need 10 targets a game type of thing. He talks about that. It was, I think it was Tyler Dunn, who, when he was writing for the Buffalo News at the time, that first printed that. But Sammy, in sort of a self-reflection, said, quote, I was more of a statistics guy then. That's what I was chasing. I found out that, hey, the fun is in the winning. Very interesting. The other interesting part, an episode, and Tyler Dunn says it was Sammy's defining moment at a practice before last season here in Buffalo. First game, he's got the foot injury. It's described as the worst pain imaginable. The Friday before Buffalo season opener against Baltimore, quote from Watkins, me and coach were battling. He's talking about Sanjay Lal, the Bills position coach at the time. He's now the receivers coach with the Colts. Sanjay Lal quoted as saying, you're healthy. Watkins saying, I said, I'm not healthy. Sanjay Lal said, run the route. Sammy said, it's about to break right here. He said he felt it. He felt the break. Watkins didn't say anything to coaches. Tried to play a couple games. Finally elected to redo the surgery. Interested though. I would highly recommend this article. And Tyler Dunn, I know, does a segment with Sal Capaccio on Mondays. Mm-hmm. He'll probably talk more about this. But Sammy sort of opened with the fact that, yes, he was a bit of a diva, as most receivers are, quite frankly, in his tenure in Buffalo. He says he's grown up a lot. He says his story is not finished, and he has a different approach now. So,
you know,
good for him,
I
guess.
First of all, Sammy was traded away, you know, so it's probably his first time where it's like, man, they don't want me. You know, they trade him away somewhere else. Then he gets out to Los Angeles. He's not even their number one receiver. Yeah. Where here, when he came in and back in college and his whole life, he's been the number one guy. Out there, he's just another guy. He has 7 touchdowns, but he has like 30-something receptions. You
right.
know, you're not talking about, oh, this dude has 90 receptions right now. No. He's just another guy on that team. You fit in. You're a piece to this puzzle. So there is some growing up in that, you know, just understanding this is a team sport. We need you to be a part of this team, and if you're a part of this team, then we'll be a better team. And I think he's learning that right now as he's out there in Los Angeles enjoying a very fun season, you know, as he's being a piece to the puzzle. The second part of this thing is when a guy – some guys really are injured, you know, and people will say, oh, he's, you know, he's a piece of glass or he's a pencil or something like that. This is football. All right, and if you never played it, you don't know what it's like to be on the field and have to play through injuries. And there's nobody that knows what you're feeling but you, not even the training staff,
yeah.
not a coach. Nobody knows what it is that you're dealing with but you. And so a coach says, run the route, and you're saying, I can't run the route. I can't. Trust me, I would be out on the field if I wanted to, but I can't run the route. Now, I'm glad that he's growing up, but you also have that side of it. I'm just happy that he's out there having fun with, you know, with his team, with yeah. Robert Woods, Nickell Roby-Coleman, all of those boys that left here, and they're there, and they're having fun now.
Roby-Coleman quoted in the article on BleacherReport.com from Tyler Dunn, Roby-Coleman claiming that Sammy never chatted much at all when they were teammates in Buffalo. Now they eat lunch together daily. The quote from Nickell Roby-Coleman, in Buffalo, he was not open with anybody. He wasn't talking to anybody. He was self-centered. Here he actually really talks to people and tells people how he feels. He shares how he feels. Sounds like maturity has
yeah.
come his way, at least if you believe this article and
being
believe
a teammate.
Sammy's approach and being a good teammate. Yeah.
Yes, I mean, look, you're another guy on this team. Be a good teammate. Be approachable. You know, nobody wants to be on a team where somebody doesn't talk to anybody. You know, no, man. Be a good teammate. Talk. We all going to go to work together. We're going to eat lunch together. We can go out at night together. Whatever it is, but be approachable and be coachable. You know, I think that's something that, you know, we didn't hear on the good side of Sammy when he was here. And the crazy thing is we heard things like this. We weren't sure,
mm-hmm.
but we heard things like this for sure, that Sammy didn't work as hard. He had a diva mentality. And now he actually is admitting to it, and it's crazy to see him admit to it.
Yeah. I mean, I wish him no ill will.
I wish
it would have worked out here for him
yeah,
better.
Yeah, you know? I'm glad it's working out for him there.
And I'm glad the Bills have E.J. Gaines and draft picks to show for it, too, as
mm-hmm.
a matter of fact.
Yep.
But it's a really good reading, and you may want to look for this online, BleacherReport.com. Sammy Watkins dropped the diva attitude and got his career back on track in L.A., written by our buddy Tyler Dunn. All right, we're going to take a break. We're coming back with more. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts. We're live at One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
What we learned is presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Greg Cosell on the show with us. He is executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN. You can see it over the weekend on ESPN and ESPN2. We asked him about the Bills-Dolphins matchup and asked them what the Bills do with Miami's dangerous wide receiver, Jarvis Landry.
Depending on how Sean wants to go about playing, if he plays man and he's in the slot, it'll be Leonard Johnson. If it's, you know, if he goes zone, then you're just, then it's a zone concept. You have to match up at some point when receivers run into your area, but there's no one who will follow Landry and run with him depending on his route. But Landry's a physical guy. He's very good between the numbers.
Greg Cosell on the matchup with Jarvis Landry. We had Fred Jackson in here. Everybody's always excited when Fred Jackson stops by. He's the leader of the charge Sunday when the Bills play the Dolphins. We asked Fred if he is just about ready to officially announce his retirement. Here's what he said.
I'm not prepared to, but okay. I think I think it's obvious now. You know that you know you can't play as long as you want to, and you don't always get to go out on your terms. So that's part of it. And you know, I just want everybody to know that when I do decide to hang them up, it's definitely going to be in a Bills jersey. So as long as they'll have me, you know, come back and sign that one day contract, so I can leave as a Buffalo Bill. That's definitely what I want to get done.
I think everybody's going to be on board with that. Injury report for this week for the Bills. Tyrod Taylor, good to go. He'll start Sunday against the Miami Dolphins. Nathan Peterman, not good to go. He's been ruled out. Peterman still in concussion protocol, even though he got in full practice today. And the big question of wide receiver, Kelvin Benjamin, listed as questionable. Limited work for Kelvin Benjamin today. Donald, I feel good about the Bills' chances on Sunday, even with some of those injury question marks. I like the vibe around here. I like the home field advantage for the Bills, and I think they're going to come out of this and be 8-6 going to the final two games this year.
I like the home field advantage in this thing. I think that this team is ready to play. After playing last week's game, I feel like they have some momentum coming, especially with the overtime win. You got some momentum coming into this week. They understand what's in front of them, what they need to do. So I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there on Sunday. I'm looking forward to seeing a good game.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be good. I hope
you'll be there on Sunday.
Yeah, I'll go. I'll go to the game. All right. Yeah. Do I have a choice?
If not, I mean, I'll step in for you. If you
I think I'll go. Right. I'll show. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, Napa Auto Parts. Find your local Napa store online at NapaOnline.com. I want to thank our production assistants, J.J. Torito, George Blass, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Olivia Merrill, Shelby Rush, our producer, Jay Harris. We are back at work here Monday at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.